Hey guys, just a couple quick notes before we get started. If you're not following us on Facebook, you're probably not aware that we had another episode all set to go up today. And unfortunately, due to some technical difficulties, we lost it and had to scramble to come up with something else. So if you saw the title of this one and wondered what was going on or maybe why you didn't have a chance to submit something, just know that it was very last minute. And if we do something like this again, there will be a lot more notice and we'll make sure to put the word out on Twitter and on the website and just all over the damn place. And that also reminds me that if this is your first time listening to the show, I would recommend starting with a different episode since this one gets very inside baseball just in terms of, you know, talking shop about how all of this got started and a lot of anecdotes about behind the scenes stuff. And so if you're not already familiar with the show and with us, it's not going to mean very much to you. I also want to express my gratitude to everyone that submitted a question and helped make this possible. You guys helped get us out of a very stressful situation, and we can't thank you enough, seriously. And I want you to know that we did answer every question, and we took every suggestion, and we played every variation on our usual games that you came up with. And it wound up being over 3 hours long. So I don't know if some of you would have been okay with a giant-sized episode, but unfortunately, bandwidth is a huge factor, and we needed a manageable file size before we could upload it. So a lot of stuff got cut. You're not going to hear two truths, one lie, or who would you be and who would you F, but I did save all of that material, and we'll try to figure out some way for you to hear it if you're interested. More importantly, some questions got cut for time, so I want to give super abbreviated answers to a couple of you right now. Tyler, we hit everything except your question about the X-Files. So the short version is, we all remember it fondly. We've been talking about it for a few weeks now, you know, just the best way to tackle that show, how to handle that. So it's definitely coming up really, really soon. Barry, you asked us about Erie, Indiana. Donna never watched it. Carlos and I have very hazy memories of it, but we do want to start doing more TV shows to help mix things up, so we're adding that one to the list. So thank you for reminding us that that was a thing. The last thing I want to mention is this is just a quick note about one of the conversations we have. We get into that whole so-and-so raped my childhood nonsense, and I start saying how the stuff you love isn't going anywhere and the filmmakers can't take that away from you. And I mentioned George Lucas, even though that dude did take your childhood away from you, or at least went out of his way to make sure the original versions of those first three Star Wars movies aren't available to you. So maybe not the best example, but I think you'll still see the point I'm trying to make. You'll know it when you hear it. But that's that. Just a quick editor's note after I listen back to all this. This was the quickest turnaround we've ever had on an episode. We just finished recording, you know, like well after midnight. I only had a few hours, you know, to clean it up and put it all together. So I'm not going to lie, we're a little nervous about it, but we knew we wanted to do something for you guys. So we hope you dig it. And thank you again for making this possible. And enjoy the episode. Hello, and welcome to Hey, Do You Remember?, a show where we usually pick a movie or TV series we grew up with and see how it holds up, but today we're taking a break from our regularly scheduled programming to answer some listener questions, bring you all up to speed on what's happening with the show, talk about some stuff that doesn't always fit as nicely into a regular episode, and maybe play a few games. I'm Chris.
I'm Donna.
And I'm Carlos.
And today it's all about you, our lovely listeners. So obviously the first thing I want to start with is apologizing for the big episode. You know what sucks is, like, if I had just waited a few hours before I teased it on Facebook, no one would ever have known. It would have just been like our dirty little secret.
And another... I waited for you to tease it before I went on Twitter.
Oh, I know. Well, and usually by the point I've posted, like, hey, this is what's coming up next week. I'm well on my way to having a finished episode. And also the other thing I wanted to point out is, like, there are usually we prefer to be at least one episode ahead of whatever's coming out. And, you know, sometimes we've been even several episodes.
We've
had a hell of a queue of episodes built up. This is just, unfortunately, we've been in a pattern here where it's like the most recent episode we record is the very next one that goes
living
up.
Living our lives, people. Yeah. Understand.
I mean, we are going to try, though. We actually, before this even happened, we were talking about recording more often so that we could build up like a stockpile of episodes. So sorry that happened. Really, really, I feel awful about it. And then also, I want to express my gratitude to all of you because when I pitched the idea of doing, you know, this listener question episode to Carlos and Donna, it was still a gamble because if none of you had written to us, that we would not have a show. I don't know what we'd be doing.
It would have been really embarrassing.
Super embarrassing. But I had a gut feeling you guys were going to come through for us, and you did because you're amazing and we adore you. So thank you for helping to save this week's episode. And yeah, you're wonderful. Every last one of you. You're just so damn wonderful.
Except for you. You know who you are.
There is somebody right now that's like, I think they mean me.
Oh, no.
And we do.
We do. Sorry.
We got another iTunes review in that I want to read. This one is also amazing.
There we go. I'm having one. I have like this really big like burp that's living inside of me that has... not ready to be outside.
It'd be weird if it were anywhere else.
This really big burp that's like just outside of my head.
I'm keeping it in the bank for later use. Yeah,
thank you. It's going to be a nice exclamation point to a thought later on.
In a cedar barrel.
I'm sorry. I had a tetanus shot today. I don't know if that has anything to do with burps.
Yes, that explains it. Yeah, you're holding a beer. I think it's the tetanus shot.
Yeah.
Probably.
Probably the tetanus shot.
I think so. Okay, so here's the review I want to read. This comes from our listener, Ted. And it is the title of it is I Remember Loving This Podcast.
Yay.
This is another one where I kind of feel like I need to read the whole thing.
Do it.
I really like this one. Okay, so here's Ted's review. Whether you're a child of the late 80s to early 90s, a soccer mom, or a touchy McMustache still looking for Chris. And I got to admit, when I first read this, there was like a half second of, oh my God, what if he is? And then immediately followed by like, oh, I'm way too old for that dude now. It's fine. I'm fine.
You're out of his
wheelhouse. Yeah. Okay, so this podcast will be enjoyed by all. The hosts do an amazing job of both recounting their childhood memories as well as giving insight and informative backstory. But hang on.
Are you reading this to yourself or to the microphone?
Yeah, you're meant.
Well, it's this whole thing about like not wanting to. He's saying a lot of really nice things, which I appreciate, but I don't want to just get on the mic and be like, "We're the best."
The thing is that you actually read it out loud, so you might as well just.
Well, I'm looking for the next part where he did a really good job of like weaving in jokes from the show, and I can't remember. Okay, here we go. Every once in a while, the show might get derailed off on a tangent for a while, but honestly, those are some of my favorite moments of the show. Aww. Mine too, Ted. Also, what do you expect when you consider the three moons, three hosts? Chris, Donna, and Carlos have incredible chemistry together.
That's true.
And then the rest, the rest is very sincere and it's really, really nice. And it's not that I don't appreciate it. I love this review. It was very nice. I feel weird about.
Do you want me to read all the praise next time?
I think so. Oh, you're fine with it?
Yeah, okay.
It makes me uncomfortable to be like, Chris, this person loves us.
Chris, Donna, and Carlos are the best people that ever lived, probably.
Probably. I love that he's not going to commit to that 100%. Let's be reasonable.
He means it, but he's not.
Yeah, yeah.
It's possible that they're not.
I might change my mind. I could be wrong about this.
Probably the best.
Likely the best people who ever were. With the finest opinions. Many opinions.
Okay, so before we get into all your questions and everything, I also... It's interesting that this came up when it did, this emergency episode. We've heard from some of you. I know some of you you wish that the show came out weekly instead of every other week and have kind of inquired why why we're not releasing episodes more frequently. That has absolutely everything to do with our schedules and the turnaround time on recording an episode and actually having it ready to go up. So this is just a schedule that I knew we would be able to hit as we almost did not make this one. So it's just for practical reasons. It's a schedule I knew we'd be able to stick to. But we also, we like the idea of putting out more content, and we have been discussing maybe doing mini episodes. We don't really have like a great title for them yet on our off weeks where, you know, we'll still have our regular episodes every other week where we're reviewing a movie or a TV show. And then on these mini episodes, it would be stuff more like this where we're answering your questions or talking about other stuff from this era that maybe doesn't, it's not worth doing an entire episode over, but stuff that we still want to talk about, or just more freeform, maybe even having less of a structure and just us kind of talking about other things that are going on with us and whatnot. So if that is something that you guys would be into, please let us know. It'll help us decide one way or the other whether or not that's something we're going to try and do. And then, yeah, if you don't want to download them, you don't have to. You can just stick to the regular ones. Those aren't going anywhere. But just something that would be there if you wanted it on the off Fridays. So let us know what you think. And, yeah, let's get into some listener questions then. Okay, so the first one, and this was the most asked question that we got, the gist of it being, you know, how did the three of us meet and how did the show get started and all that. But I want to read a message that we got from Ellery through Facebook, because I love the way he puts this. This is so, so great.
Perfect.
So he says, so here's what I'm wondering. How the hell did all of you meet? Was it at Starbucks? Chris, did you make Donna a coffee that she just loved while Carlos chuckled at you both and everyone thought, let's start a podcast?
As I'm chuckling, that's amazing.
Isn't that awesome?
I kind of wish that is how
that's
it goes. That's basically what happened.
It all boils down to...
The broad strokes.
But still,
Chris made Donna coffee, Carlos sat in the corner.
I just chuckled because that's what I do.
And we're like,
bingo, bingo, podcast.
They'll laugh at us. Cool.
Okay, well, so how'd we meet? Well, Donna and I have been friends for 8 years at this point. And it was because you got hired at the Starbucks that I worked at. Uh-huh. And that whole group of people, actually, we wound up becoming like really, really good friends.
Such good friends.
Really close. And like, you know, you always get along with your coworkers if you know, you hope.
In general.
Yeah, yeah, but this was something a lot different. Special. I remember the first time we hung out outside of work was sort of like, holy shit, we actually really like hanging out with each other.
We're
this is really amazing.
Gang of friends. Carlos wasn't there.
I was not there.
No. You went into later with much triumph.
With much triumph and fanfare.
Yeah.
And chuckles.
He wasn't there for that part, though.
But that store closed.
Which was sad. The dark days of the economy.
It was a bummer. It was a real bummer. And then my Starbucks experience just got worse and worse after that. I got bounced around from one store to another.
You went to another store that closed.
Yeah.
Right away.
Yeah. Like, they knew it was going to close when they sent me there, but they couldn't say anything because it wasn't officially announced yet.
That's the worst.
I know. It was
sadness. Let's send him.
It's just a
how awful
big plate of hot shit. And then I wound up at Donna's other store.
Yeah.
And then Carlos started working there a few months after.
As a spy for an
I was not a spy.
He's actually worked in espionage.
Oh, I didn't know this.
This is not true.
I started in June.
I started in June 2009.
Yeah,
I had actually been with
some clarity.
I had been with another Starbucks for a year, and I got traded.
Was it serious?
More serious than it needed to be. That's why I left. I got traded to your guys' store, and I remember loving your store. I walked into your store. And your guys' like crew was super tight, way tighter than we were at my old store. And I was like, this is going to be great. And then within like a month, like half of you were gone. I was I was the beginning of the phasing out. Got it. Great.
Oh, poor thing.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I never felt like that was a tight crew.
It was much tighter than the one the one I had that come sucks. From was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was bad. Much less tight than the one we had come from, but still tight. Tighter. I was still right. hanging out with those people. Like,
yeah, you guys went to each other's like shows and stuff. Mm. We did not at my other store. It was like, I don't want to see you outside of work. I will walk the other way if I see you on the street.
That's different.
But yeah, so I've known you guys both since June of 2009. And I remember the first time that I ever saw the first time, Chris, you and I worked together on like a Sunday where like there were no managers.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like you maybe mentioned a movie and I was like, wait, you like movies? This is going to be.
Oh, you know what? I remember one of our first conversations was about. You something about Batman.
That's because I saw you doodling Batman. I was like, wait, like Batman?
But I remember the first time we worked together, it was like there were instantly a bunch of things that were sort of like, this is going to be awesome. It was like the mutual Natalie Portman admiration, the man crush on Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Yes. These are all things that came like out of the very first time we worked together.
Yeah.
So I was like, Carlos is going to, this is going to be all right. And then obviously after I left Starbucks, Donna and I still saw each other very frequently. The great thing about the podcast, and we'll talk in a second about how this all got started, is that even though I still saw Donna a lot and still hung out with those people a lot, the weird thing about like Facebook and shit like that is that it gives you the illusion that you're maintaining friendships, but it's just like the super easy, lazy way of just like, well, I liked that post. We're good. And like, I don't. And then before you know it, you can blink and it's like, it's been like 3 years since I've seen that person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and actually it face to face had a real conversation with that person.
Too true.
And that's even now, like even when I think about, you know, the other people from that store that I was really close to, when I actually do the math on it, it's sort of like, oh, shit, it's been a long time since we all got together to go see so-and-so's show or whatever was going on. It's been a long time. And then Carlos, I feel like, it was the same thing where it's like maybe occasionally on Facebook we'd comment on something, you know, the other posted. Yeah. But it was like, if not for this podcast, it's like these were like...
Oh, you have no idea. Before this podcast, like Donna would come in and be like, I saw Chris this week.
I
like,
would dangle
you
it.
You son of a bitch. You got to hang out with Chris.
It was shitty that like.
But then it would be like, I talked to Chris on Facebook this week, and you would be like, no, I haven't talked to Chris in
I'd
a week.
Like, son of a bitch.
Well, the idea that either of these friendships could have gone into like the peripheral or something, you know, like that's been the best thing about doing this is that I know that at least every other week. We're going to be talking and recently, you know, actually being in the same room and everything. That's the best part about doing the show. And the way the show got started was, I at the time was listening to a shitload of podcasts, so many podcasts, and was just falling in love with so many of them. And that's the other thing, the other bummer about actually like doing one now is now there's like less time for all that. I feel so behind on all that stuff. Like, and I'm not just saying this because I know the dude listens to the show and everything, but like, I was just thinking today, like that Liberty Street Geek podcast, the science fiction film podcast they do. I've got like five of those on my phone that I've downloaded and just, I haven't listened to anything in so long, and I'm waiting for like a weekend where I can just like marathon and catch up on all this stuff. But there's a ton of stuff I am so behind on. But yeah, so I knew I wanted to do one. I didn't know exactly what it was going to be. I was circling a few different ideas, and the premise of this show is the one I kept coming back to. And I think Donna was like one of the first people I thought of when it was like, well, who would I do a podcast with? And because even before I'd settled on this, because we were still going back and forth about other things the show might be, but I just knew that Donna was like really funny. Like of all my friends, you're one of the ones that makes me laugh the hardest.
Keep saying it.
And you were also a person that I knew from past experience, like even though we tended to have a lot of like different opinions on things and different points of views on things, we were always very agreeable when we discussed them. Like it was possible to have those conversations with you. So I thought that would be good. And also you have a really good voice for radio, podcasting, whatever. So that was the trinity of like going with Don. And then Carlos, actually, I think I've mentioned this to you before, but the reason Carlos was not part of the show from the get-go was that my plan was to get this show up and running and then start – I was going to ask Carlos to be a part of a different show that was going to be more about like current stuff, like current movies, video games, comic books, other pop culture stuff.
And well, hell, then, I'll quit this show. We can do that.
It sounds good, right?
Hey!
See you later, sucker.
I'm still in 1986.
But then we were going off on, even in the early episodes, we were going off on so many tangents and stuff already. I felt like bringing in a third person would be good. And also, there was room for that in this show, too. We were already covering so much of that stuff anyways. So, yeah, brought Carlos aboard and never looked back. And I mean, like right away, the first episode we recorded with Carlos was the Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead episode. And I mean, as soon as we started that one and actually as soon as we finished recording that one too, I just remember feeling like, boom, we've got it. Like we were still figuring out the show at that point and we still kind of had a long way to go, but it was like, yeah, okay, now we're.
I just listened to Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, Hook and Problem Child, and Super Mario Brothers in the past, like, 2 days. Like, just to hear, I wonder what it sounded like a year ago. Mm. Man, first of all, we all sound really young, which is weird because we're, like, basically the same age.
That sounds super weird. Yeah. And maybe it was the shittier microphones.
That might be what it was. Yeah, but yeah, it's funny how far this show has come in that year.
And there's still, I mean, that, and I, every week it feels like we're learning all kinds of lessons about, okay, more of that, less of that, and blah, blah, blah. Based on some of the questions we got, some of the old episodes and everything is going to come up a little later. But yeah, that's the gist of it. That's how it got going. Okay, so the next question, comes from Tyler, who wanted to know if we had a favorite episode of the podcast so far and why.
My favorite episode of all the episodes is probably Masters of the Universe.
Is it really?
Yeah, because I didn't, because when you brought it up, I think, I was like, this is so fucking crazy, why do I have to watch this movie? And I, like, kind of grumbled about it, like, in my own private world, when I was like, oh my god, I'm fucking watching this He-Man movie, and it's fucking ridiculous. But I ended up, like, quite enjoying the nonsense of it, and I loved listening to the podcast, and that experience with Uncle Moonrise, and I don't know, that podcast just makes me
it's
giggle.
It's a good episode.
And I like the objectification of He-Man.
Yeah, I think that was pretty clear.
It's such a wackadoo movie, too.
I kind of like the ones that I'm not super, like, you know, whenever, because we have to, the three of us have to agree, there has to be a consensus of like, okay, yes, well, we can do that one. Yeah. And there's some, the reason certain ones get rejected would probably surprise a lot of the listeners, like the whole, I mean, because there is more to it than like, oh, we all liked this. Like, it's got to be one that would be appropriate for the show, too. Mm-hmm. And that, stuff like that, because I've been in that boat, too, where we've agreed on something and I'm kind of like, oh, gosh, all right. Yeah. Well, I guess I got to watch that tonight.
Yeah.
But in a weird way, I sometimes get excited about those, too, because it's sort of like I'm coming at this from a completely different place than.
Yeah, because then you might have a whole shitload to say. When you're watching a movie like that, you might be like, my, there's a reason I never saw it because it's awful and I'll tell you all the reasons why.
You know, if I'd been you, because I think in the episode, if I'm remembering correctly, you said that you didn't even know it was a thing. Like, you would watch the He-Man cartoon, but you weren't aware there was a He-Man movie. For that reason alone, I feel like I would have been like, what in the world? Put it on now. What are you talking about? How would that ever work? It doesn't.
It doesn't.
Spoiler alert.
It doesn't work at all.
Carlos, do you have a favorite episode?
I'm trying to decide what the favoritest episode is. I really enjoy the Problem Child episode.
Mm. Is it for the crazy ending?
That one goes off the rails, and it's the first time we had ever gone
It's the first time we go off. I think there have been other episodes where we actually get a little weirder and sillier, but that was the very first time that it was sort of like, what's happening?
Yeah, that was like, and where we were having full-on laughing attacks and just saying to each other,
we're going to have to cut all of this.
Well, and I don't know if people realize there is a huge chunk of that that I did cut out.
Yeah, and it's, I love that. I love the going off the rails of it. And it also, that was a movie that I did not expect to enjoy.
Yeah.
And really enjoyed it more than I did when I was a kid. It's between that one, Short Circuit 2.
That's a really good episode.
It is one of our least downloaded episodes.
It's so good. You guys download
it. It's really good.
It's such a good movie. It's yeah, so good.
Yeah.
It's so
Carlos good. Gives a really great performance in that one. Donna and Chris are also excellent.
We're there. Yeah. We're also there.
Carlos did shine, though.
And then Sandlot. And I'll tell you why Sandlot.
Yeah.
Because Chris attempted to say mouth to mouth.
Oh my gosh, I forgot all about that.
Chris is like, so Squints jumps into the pool and he stays at the bottom so that Wendy Peppercorn will have to give him ass to mouth. Mouth to mouth! Oh no! And then like laughing for about 2 minutes and then we're all laughing but you just keep going, oh no!
I forgot about that. I don't think I've listened to the Sandlot since it's gone up.
So my wife doesn't really listen to the podcast, period. But I got her to listen to that clip from the Sandlot. I was like, you have to listen to this. Just this part.
Yeah, she was
doubled over. It was so funny. That moment is great.
The thing is about Problem Child that reminded me of is, in terms of liking that movie more than you thought you would, the interesting thing about this show, because this was going to tie into what I was going to say about trying to pick a favorite episode, and I don't know if I can, because I think about moments like the end of Problem Child and I don't know if it's just self-indulgent for me, like just to listen to us like laughing like that, if stuff like that is as funny to our listeners, or if it's just hilarious to me because I know you guys. Mm-hmm. And I think about that, so like if those moments work as well for other people, and
it's a lot of like the best moments from these episodes that like your radio show Dick Tracy.
That's a pretty wonderful moment.
I think my favorite episode overall is Ninja Turtles.
That's a good one.
Because nice. Mostly because that episode is like to me the epitome of what this show can be when it's at its best. I thought it was a really good balance of being informative and also really silly, and I love the way we came at it. It hit the sweet spot that I always think of when I think about like how I want the show to work, which is that we still had so much affection for that film. The overall tone of the episode was extremely positive, but we were also objective enough to say like, here's sort of what doesn't maybe work as well, and here's other things we didn't notice as kids, and like, and we still poked fun at some of the goofier things in there. And it was a lot of fun, and I think, yeah, I don't know. My other thoughts on this whole matter are actually going to come up with another question later that's sort of the opposite of this question. So for now, I'm just going to say that, yeah, my favorite overall episode is probably Ninja Turtles. Okay, Ted, whose review we read at the top of the show, would like to know. I would love it if you guys told us more about yourselves. Oh, how you met, what your backgrounds are. We already sort of went over that. He also asked about the other lost episodes, other episodes that have been lost, which ones they were, perhaps briefly discuss some of your favorite moments from some of them since we won't ever get to hear them. What sucks is I bet people are going to be really surprised just how many there are.
There are kind of a lot. We're starting to build up
a really respectable amount of ones that we've done.
Almost, but didn't, yeah. Okay,
including like our favorite ones, right? Like, isn't...
first one.
It's always easy to like... You know, the stuff that no one's ever going to hear.
That would be the best.
Yeah,
one.
It's easy to be like, oh, it was so good, you guys. Oh. You have no idea. I feel like there's two that I'm okay that are sort of like, all right, whatever. And then there's like maybe two more that I really feel like, shit, that sucks. So I'm going to go in chronological order. This is the second episode Donna and I recorded was Clue. And it was the first time Donna... took the lead on an episode, and you did great. It was great.
So fun.
And it was a really funny episode. I really liked the way that one came out. I think we were really hard on ourselves right after we finished recording, and then I listened back to it and was like, oh no, this is gonna be really good.
But the thing was, and this was the, like, severe learning curve I had for podcasts, the reason this episode was lost.
I wasn't going to bring this up, but if you want to go ahead.
I want to tell you, listeners, I was new to this world. And, you know, we've set up, I'd gotten a microphone, and my, you know, my setup was all great.
Oh, no, I have not heard this story.
So Chris and I were recording remotely, so I was at my house, and he was at his, and we were having a great time, and I was all animated, moving my arms around, and being just like Tim Curry, taking us through. And then they went over here, but maybe not. And then they went over here. And it was great, and I had so much fun. And then afterwards, the problem with the episode was that I had not inserted headphones into my ears.
Oh.
So you could hear Chris
coming through her speakers.
Through my computer.
And so the only way to release that episode would be to just have Donna side of it with me coming through her speakers. And it's really hard to hear a lot of what I'm saying that way. It's just like I don't know. I could never.
You have to like dub over all your own.
It's impossible. I've tried. I've tried taking my audio and like and laying it over. But it never lines up perfectly. And then even when you get it to line up perfectly, it'll eventually go out of sync again. Mm-hmm. It would take.
Yeah, you'd
years
have to sit there and
to get that. I've tried several different ways of cleaning that one up. If we did ever release it, I don't think I could do it as a regular episode. That would maybe have to be like, you know, oh, you're subscribing. Okay, we're very quietly going to send this to you, but it's not going to be in our iTunes feed.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll figure out.
Sorry, guys.
We've been asked about that one specifically because the other thing is because we referenced it in other episodes because we didn't know it was lost yet. And so people ask, like, wait a minute, where's this episode you're talking about? I can't find it. So that was the first one.
People just want to hear it. People are like, hey, do Clue.
I know. When we get requests for episodes that we've recorded and are kind of – we got fucked on, it's always like, oh.
Yep.
That hurts.
That stings.
Sorry.
So the next one – was Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which breaks my heart to even say it,
so
you guys.
Sad.
That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh. And it's one that gets requested a lot.
It's
and
so
what happened was, Donna, I think you were sick.
I was already beside myself that I was missing it.
Donna cursed the episode.
I probably cursed it.
Well,
I'm so sorry.
You and the Sanderson
say this,
sisters.
We lost Big. And that was a Donna hosted episode. Is this not a curse?
No, I don't think it is.
No.
Internet over there.
There were no technical difficulties with Hocus Pocus. Muppets Take Manhattan went off without a hitch.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
I don't think it's a Donna thing.
Okay,
I think for
I'm not saying it's a Donna.
No.
Proportional amount of the ones that you've hosted.
Just a weird coincidence.
Yeah.
I think for a while there were technical difficulties with movies you picked.
Yes,
that's
there were.
That was
another thing.
Yeah.
Because Who Framed Roger Rabbit was the first one I
And every picked. Time, yeah, so every time Carlos was like, let's do this, something went.
And it was always my Skype.
Or
like
that,
Skype
or yeah, that was a big issue for a while.
Yeah.
Okay, so with Roger Rabbit, so it was me, Carlos, and Kristen, and it was a great episode. That was another one that felt great as we were recording it. And then it wrapped, and we were all sort of like, all right, that was great. And then a couple of things went wrong with that one. The first being, Carlos was doing it over Skype, and there was a delay.
Yeah.
And so, and there's always like, that's the thing I hate about Skype is occasionally there will be like a half a second of a delay or something. Like Donna will laugh at a joke, you know, after Carlos and I have laughed at it and we've moved on, and it's like, oh,
well,
Donna just got it. This was a severe.
This was like 20 seconds.
It was long. So the whole flow of like some of the episode got kind of like really fucked up where we were done talking about one thing and Carlos was just starting to chime in on it the pacing of it was so off in certain parts.
And that one breaks my heart because I love that movie so much.
Yeah, I know. Well, and then I even tried. I was like, fuck it. I'm going to go in and I might have to chop it up and make it really short. Then the other problem was the same thing. There was just bleed over in some of the audio where like you could hear me on Kristen's recording.
Oh,
you could hear Kristen on my recording and you can't sync them up perfectly. And so it had this weird like effect on it. And so That's another one that's like, it's so weird because that and Clue, I haven't deleted any of those files yet because I haven't given up on them. Like, there's a part of me that's like, someday something is going to occur to me. It's like, aha, this is how I'll fix it. This is how I can do it. But I did save all the data for those. The next lost episode was Bill and Ted. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. This one. Okay, so here's the here's the good news, bad news with this. So the bad news was that Donna's side of the recording, we could not figure out how to get it out of Audacity and to me.
Just
because sometimes that program is just
could not get it. I think there is a backup recording of it. Like, you know, I have that shitty Skype call recorder where the quality isn't great, but it's not awful. And so I feel like if worse comes to worse, I can dig around and see if I have the entire Skype call recorded. If I do, I remember, I know Carlos, you've said before that you were sort of like, you didn't feel crazy about the Bill and Ted episode. I always felt like once it was edited, like once it was like really streamlined, that was going to be a perfectly like suitable episode. Like,
well,
it was
the ones
be really
that I
good.
End up not feeling crazy about always end up being good. Like, I didn't think Hocus Pocus was going to be good.
Well, there's a whole behind the scenes story with Hocus Pocus. It probably isn't worth getting into, but I think we were all like super relieved with how that one wound up coming out because it almost didn't. But I like the Hocus Pocus episode quite a bit. Yeah, so Bill and Ted also not totally off the table. I am determined to find a way to get that one out there. So I would say of all the ones you're talking about, that one is most likely in terms of like there's a chance that like Bill and Ted is the only, and I got to do it soon too because I don't want to get to a point where we've moved on so far with the show that it's like, what are these segments they're doing and what are they taught? Like, like already the quality of the show is not great compared to a lot of other podcasts, I'm aware. But even going back, you know, 6 months, a year, it's going to sound different, I think. The other lost episode is not lost so much as banished. That's the Addams Family. And I know a lot of you are probably like, wait, it exists? Just put it out. What's the matter with you? No. Because that is the only one on this list that was just straight up not good. Like, we were, all three of us were just like off that night. Like, something was up. Like, it wasn't a good episode. And we bailed on it really quick. It was super short. Like, even when we got to the end and we normally start playing games, all three of us were just sort of like, no, we're good. Let's call it a night. we just weren't.
What was it about that one? That was weird.
We just weren't feeling it. And it's weird because it wasn't like, you know, we disliked the movie either. It was just,
I know what it was. I think it came after Hocus Pocus and we were still dealing with like some residual issues of like flow.
Oh.
And so we're all like,
I mean, it was, morale was not great
was not
going
great.
Into that one. That's true. I'd forgotten
so
that.
I think that was probably the magic that was missing was us being like,
stupid
punka.
You're just going to have to, you're going to have to.
We were recording remotely, so more than likely there was like a half hour delay where my Skype decided it wasn't going to work. So by the time we started, normally we would start recording this between 8:30 and 9 o'clock, but it was probably closer to 10 by the time we started.
It was like 11:30 before your shit got online.
Right, exactly.
We were like, yeah, somewhere Tisha, she's good. Gomez, he's good.
I mean, I've thought, enough time goes by, you get to be more objective. Maybe at some point I'll dig it out, listen to it, and go, it's really not that bad. We'll throw it out as like a bonus episode. But you're just going to have to take our word for it. It's not a good episode.
Maybe someday we can do Family Values and give it another shot when we're in a better mood. Because there are, you know, there's more than one.
Yeah.
You know.
And that one's got Joan Cusack.
Yeah,
you know what else would be fun? I would love to do what they do on Smodcast sometimes where they play back old recordings and then pause them to comment on them. That might be a really good one to be listen to the subtext there.
That is crabby.
Yeah.
What's happening here is I have a whole pile of cookies I'm looking at and not eating because they're crunchy cookies and I just want to eat them, but I have to talk about something.
Okay, and then the only other lost episode prior until this whole thing with Big happened was, and this one is not there's no, I don't even have a good reason for why this one hasn't been released. Kristen and I recorded an episode where we compared the original RoboCop, which is one of our favorite movies, to the new RoboCop that just came out. And, I thought it went fine, but then we put it on the back burner because the movie didn't do that great in theaters, which was also great. And then I thought, well, I'm just going to save it till it comes out on like Blu-ray and more people have seen it, more people are talking about it again. Maybe I'll put the episode out then. That also didn't really happen, which is cool. I have very mixed feelings about this. I love that no one gives a shit about the new RoboCop. And then the other problem was I felt like it was coming at a time where the show seemed like it was really starting to pick up some steam, and I just felt like the episodes I wanted to release were ones that had like the three of us. So maybe, you know, like when we've done bonus episodes in the past, I might throw it out there at some point, for one of those. And I think, you know, we've been talking about Kristen coming on and doing, very shortly, one of our next episodes on deck, Kristen's going to join us for. And I think her and I might do the same, another bonus Halloween episode where I make her sit down and watch another horror franchise with me, like we did with Child's Play.
I think the Child's Play one is great.
Mm. So that's why you haven't heard that one yet. And then, yes, of course, the most recent one is Big, which, unfortunately, unlike some of these others, it is fucking gone, and no. I am devastated.
Mm. It was good.
I liked that episode a lot.
That was the one where we really said some genius things.
Now you're,
we changed okay. the world. All right. So
we did today. No. No, I really did. There were a lot of really good stories that were on that one. And so I don't want to spoil anything we said on the episode, because I feel like what I said to you guys was, when it comes to, if some of these episodes really do wind up just being lost, like there's nothing we can do with them, the idea of sitting down and trying to do it again feels bad. It just feels icky. Like it'd be us trying to remember what we said the first time, or like, especially with Big, like, cause we just did it. Like there's no way we're going to sit down and go over it all again. It would be shitty.
Yeah.
So that's why I thought, you know, we've talked about doing episodes that are more like commentary tracks, where you can play the movie and then listen to our commentary track as you watch it and have like sort of a different experience. And so maybe with something like Big, you know, so we're not redoing the episode. We're just
there.
Look,
he's big now.
It would feel different. It would feel different enough that I feel like that's a more viable option than trying to sit down and duplicate that episode again.
It was good though. We liked it. Just so you know.
Just, you should be really upset. It's gone. Is what Donna's saying.
But the movie too was good.
The movie was good.
Yeah. Overall, no, we thought it held up.
It was good. Totally holds up.
Even though we did have one huge disagreement.
I would love to hear.
This is worth getting into. Two things about Big.
Because I went home and asked my wife immediately, and she thought a certain way.
Okay, and I felt very strongly that the movie made it abundantly clear that Elizabeth Perkins, whatever her character's name was,
Susan,
has sex with
Josh
as an adult, but it doesn't matter because he's a kid. She has sex with a kid. She is a pedophile. Now, she doesn't know this, but she has sex with a child. Donna feels very strongly that they did not have sex.
They
just made out.
They just made out a lot.
He touched
some
boobs.
Heavy petting, but that's all.
Listeners, please weigh in.
Please tell me.
Please tell us where you fall on this issue.
Please watch the segment from the movie, though, because I didn't remember that she takes her top off.
Or I think the most compelling piece of evidence is the scene after.
Yes.
Immediately after, where he's on top of the world, acting like a grown up, because now he's a man.
Ordering black coffee.
Because he's a man now.
A 13-year-old can be completely on top of the world and think he's a man from a makeout session.
They had sex.
No, they didn't.
They definitely had sex.
No.
The other thing about Big I want to mention, in case we never revisit that one, just in case. If you're like me and remembered an alternate ending to the movie.
This is interesting.
Where.
Listen up.
Where after Josh is a kid again, the final scene of the movie is him and his friend Billy sitting in class, and then the teacher introduces them to a new student, Susan, little girl with pigtails, just like she describes herself as a little girl, because she has wished to be
little
so that she can still be with Tom Hanks. I was 100% certain I had seen this, that other people knew about it, that this was like some weird deleted scene that just maybe it was on the TV broadcast, but was not part of these, you know, home video releases. I was positive this was real. Turns out a lot of people thought the same thing. We had this weird shared experience, but there was overwhelming evidence that this wasn't the case. The fact that it wasn't on YouTube as like a deleted scene or anything. The fact that it was never a bonus feature on the DVD, the Blu-ray, any of that stuff. It wasn't part of the extended edition they just put out, you know, not too long ago. So what happened to it? But how did this entire generation of kids remember this scene?
The exact same scene.
Because there is a movie, and you know what's funny is when we were talking about it, and I was like, well, before we found out, before we had confirmation of what I was actually thinking of, I was like, I remember that like there used to be on like Saturday or Sunday nights, The Wonderful World of Disney. Mm-hmm. Maybe there was a TV movie that had like a you know, they kind of ripped off this same premise. Turns out that is fucking exactly what it was. The name of the movie is 14 Going on 30, because they're
not 13 Going on 30. This movie is called...
No, everybody involved. And yeah, it's not the actual 13 Going on 30, but more importantly, everybody involved with that film, not like at 14. Any point.
That
yeah,
makes
14, that's the one that really rolls off the tongue. That's it, yeah. So it's called 14 Going on 30. Very similar premise about a, you know, kid who... Or an adult who becomes a kid. And then, yeah, the love interest in that also winds up becoming like a kid or a teenager or whatever, again, 14, so a teenager, so that she can be with the main character. That's like the last scene of that movie. And if you look at that, I don't know if it was that movie's Wikipedia page. I think it was that movie's Wikipedia page that said this final scene has often been mistaken for an alternate ending to the movie Big. That's how common this is. So, if you're in the same boat as I was, because Don and Carlos had no idea what I was talking about. And the other thing that's crazy about it is, before we recorded that episode, I had just listened to the Cracked podcast where they were talking about the way your memory lies to you sometimes, about how unreliable your memories are. And I thought it was really interesting just thinking about our whole entire show, about like, oh, well, that's funny, because right. You know, all the things we're so adamant about. And then what I thought was interesting was the way I had filled in the details of this scene that didn't exist, because the girl was 14. She wasn't a child.
Yeah.
She had blonde hair. And in my mind, she had the red pigtails because that's how Elizabeth Perkins had described herself as a kid. And my brain had filled that in as the scene.
Smitty.
Have you guys ever heard of something called the Mandela Effect? So apparently, when Nelson Mandela died, which just happened recently, there were a large number of people who remembered that he died in prison. They were like, wait, he's still alive? I was certain. Yeah. So a large population of people.
How the piss?
A large population of people were certain he died in prison. They remembered that he died in prison. Yeah, so
what?
This is being called the Mandela Effect, when there is a mass memory of something that didn't happen, like the Big ending, except that we figured out what it was that, you know, if we would not have found the movie 14 Going on 30, and there were hundreds of people who remembered this ending that there is no proof of,
so creepy.
That would have been really creepy, but this is kind of the same thing, and there are usually, there's like a Mandela Effect website, and a lot of them are really stupid. But like,
well, the one,
but there's one that's like, for instance, the Berenstain Bears. You guys remember the Berenstain Bears?
Oh yeah.
The Berenstain Bears.
Do you remember it being spelled Berenstain Bears?
S-T-E-I-N?
S-T-A-I-N.
No.
That's how it's spelled.
Is there an E at the end?
There's no E.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like Berenstain
I had no idea.
Right. Everyone, or at least a large number of people, remember being spelled Berenstain. And like, wait, when did they change the spelling of the name? It's never been changed. It's always been that way.
Weird.
But everyone remembers it the other way. That's what's being referred to as the Mandela Effect. Now, just to close, it sucks that Nelson Mandela, like the Mandela Effect is not, I'm sorry, hey, do you remember that thing that didn't happen? The Mandela Effect is way more profound than that, I would think.
I like a TV show.
I like the Berenstain Bears book where they eat too much junk food. Just yes, the way they drew the junk food looks so delicious.
Too much junk food.
Oh.
I used to watch, did you guys ever watch the movies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the one where the no girls allowed, the clubhouse. So the girls build their own clubhouse, which is better.
Yeah.
Totally remember that. Yeah. Oh my
God. My mom was a single mom, and it was me and my brother and my mom. She would refer to us as Brother Bear when we were little.
That's adorable.
So my brother to this day, like on my birthday, he'll call me like, "Hey, Brother Bear.
That's
happy
adorable.
30th birthday."
yay.
Or when he needs like a favor. Hey,
Brother Bear.
I need a ride.
Okay, we have one more question I want to get to. This one was actually through email, through the website, from Alex, who wanted to know, were there any movies you guys felt differently about after you recorded the episode?
After we recorded, not after we...
Did you change your mind about...
Every episode, after we record it, I think of something really profound and poignant that I wish I'd said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not usually different than what I felt, but it's usually better and smarter and sharper.
I've probably changed my mind on the way I feel about Dick Tracy.
Oh.
Because now I feel like that movie's really tedious to watch. And I didn't feel that when we recorded.
Huh.
I was way more defensive of it when we were, well, not defensive.
No, I know what you're
saying.
In
its defense, when we recorded. But, like, it was on the other day. And I was like, no, I'm not watching that. Like, I skipped right by. I was like, not going to do that. That movie is tedious. And I think that might be the one.
I don't know. So, yeah, I thought really hard about this. I know that anytime I'm really hard on a movie, I wind up feeling shitty about it. And that's not that my opinion is changing. It's just that I don't like when the show gets super negative like that. Like, I still hate Super Mario Brothers, but I hate how much I hate it. Like, in that episode, it's a little overwhelming. And it kills me that that's our most popular episode.
It is always our most popular episode.
Because it's just like, oh shit, really? That is not a great reflection of me or of the show, I don't think. A lot of the early episodes are really, really difficult for me to listen to, because it's like, there's definitely, and this is inevitable, I think, when you try something like this, there was definitely a point where I feel like we're trying too hard to be funny, and it's once we kind of relaxed and fell into a pattern with the show and everything, and we were just bullshitting with each other, that I think it got much better. But yeah, Mario Brothers was one of the earliest episodes. As of this recording, Ninja Turtles is only 4 downloads behind Mario Brothers.
Oh my God.
Guys,
please just go download Ninja Turtles. You don't have to listen to it again. Let's just bump that bad boy up.
Do you remember when we were like, oh, I hope people listen to Short Circuit 2? And then, like, no one listened.
No one did.
And Mario Brothers, that was the first time I think we ever got an update from you on, like, which ones were the most popular. Mm-hmm. Like,
well,
it's
for a
Super
while,
Mario Brothers.
Oh, it was so weird for a while. Mario Brothers and Harry and the Hendersons was number 2 with a bullet for a long time. Harry and the Hendersons is way down the list now. Mm-hmm. Short Circuit 2 has never been a very big episode. Curly Sue was not. And, like,
that makes sense.
Fortunately, there isn't one that was like awful where I looked at the numbers and was like, nobody downloaded this one. What's going on? Mm-hmm. Like, it's fairly, there's like a base level we hit that Donna, do you have a movie that you felt differently about afterwards?
Not really.
No. Yeah, I don't think I did a 180 on anything. I do think this podcast ruined Mannequin for me. I think when we, because I think even though I was aware, like, this is not a good film, I think I still had some affection for it. And then after that episode, it was sort of like, I don't think I'll ever watch that ever again. I think I'm good.
I'll maybe never watch Labyrinth again.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but, like, I didn't...
Not like it.
Not like it, but I'll never do it again.
You know what I have thought about is, like, the difference between... Speaking of Labyrinth... And Dick Tracy, you know, like the things I said about Dick Tracy, I still feel that way. The stuff I said about the movie is, I think, still valid. But I have caught myself like, well, hold on. If one of the big things you didn't like about Dick Tracy was that he's totally unengaging as a main character, like I just can't, I just don't like Warren Beatty in that role. And as written, Dick Tracy is just sort of like, you just like him because he's Dick Tracy. That's it. And and that's a big part of why I can't get into that movie. And then there's something like Labyrinth where I also don't like the main character.
Yeah.
But I'm so capped. And it, what occurred to me when I listened back to the Labyrinth episode was, oh, when I talk about why I still like Labyrinth, it sounds a lot like Donna talking about why she still likes Dick Tracy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And trying to figure out, so what's the difference? Because there is a difference. I think of Labyrinth in a very positive light. And now when I think of Dick Tracy, I think of like, yeah, it's a great looking movie, but that's kind of it. And like, so why one and not the other? Why is Labyrinth okay for me? And Dick Tracy's sort of like, and you know, here's the other thing too. I was thinking about, because I know I still get really paranoid that people are like, I still can't believe you guys liked Problem Child that much. I'm under no delusions of Problem Child is a good
movie. But you do defend it to people, right?
Yeah. But, yeah. Well, but here's the other thing too. And the other thing I think is worth considering about the show is I know that when we recorded the Problem Child episode, it isn't like we watch these in a vacuum. Like, we are not only taking into these films everything that's going on with us in our lives and what happened that day and blah, 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 like all that stuff. There's also everything else we've done up, you know, with the show to that point. And I think at the point we watched Problem Child, and I'm not sure if the episodes were released in the same order, but I know that we had watched several movies in a row where it was just felt like these are unfocused, they're meandering, they don't really seem to know what they're about, they're needlessly complicated. I know Dick Tracy was one. I think I felt very similarly about Hook.
We did Problem Child, if I'm not mistaken, right after Hook and Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Well, there was, I mean, whatever it was.
And Who Framed Roger Rabbit, because we did three Bob Hoskins movies in a row.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and we lost.
Right. But I know that by the time we got to Problem Child, I think I said in the episode too, it's just like, I was most won over by how simple it was. Like, it knew the story it wanted to tell. The running time was so brief. It just got in and out and it was done. Yeah. Character motivations were clearly established. Everything played out very, like, cleanly. Mm-hmm. It was just, and it was so refreshing after, like, slogging through a bunch of movies where it felt like they didn't even know what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
And that was a big reason why I responded the way I did. And that was something I was conscious of. But I'm also aware that when we record these, there must be 100 other things I am not conscious of when it comes to other things we've been watching and other things that have stuck out and whatever, that all of that gets carried into all of this stuff that we watch. So that is also a factor. But I don't think there's anything we've looked at where later I felt like, oh, you know what? I didn't give that movie a fair shake. I do think, even though I don't take back any of the stuff I said about What About Bob, it is so strange to me that episode really does not, I really don't feel like the tone of that episode reflects how I feel about that movie. I just like, I mean, the tone of that, and maybe I haven't listened to it since it's been posted, but I remember feeling like, this seems way too harsh for a movie that all three of us really liked.
We made it abundantly clear, like, we enjoy this movie. This movie is funny, but this, and this.
And I just, but I feel like that was like the whole episode was just the butt part. Like, there was no penis. I don't know.
What?
What?
The opposite of butt.
We got the butt.
There was the butt, not the front part.
No, not the front parts. Not the downstairs area.
I will say that, yeah, since we, there are a lot of movies that, like, watching them changes my opinion of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like Problem Child.
Short Circuit 2.
I did not expect Short Circuit 2 to be awesome.
It's amazing.
I remember being funny as a kid, but I did not expect it to be awesome. But Problem Child is the one where when I mentioned that we did that episode, people were like, oh, God, Problem Child. And I will tell people, like, no, go back and watch it. It's way more watchable than you remember.
See, I worry about doing that. I worry about, like, is it really, or is it really, did it really just play that well because of the buildup to it with other movies? Like, I don't know if I feel like if Problem Child had been like the third episode, it would have been a lot different. I think I would have been a lot more negative.
I think, though, for me with Problem Child, because I remembered not really being that crazy about it when I was a kid, right?
Yeah, like, well, it stressed you out.
And it stressed me out. Like, and it does not really stress me out as much watching it as an adult. So I think that's fine advice. Yeah, you can watch it.
I tell people, like, to watch it.
It's probably fine.
I tell them, like, just give it a chance because it's probably not the movie you remember it being.
Yeah.
That's what I tell them.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Speaking about stuff, all the, you know, favorite episodes, favorite moments, blah, 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 blah. I mean, so we've sort of said what ours are and all that. I'd actually be really curious to know what the, what for the listeners, what some of their favorite episodes or moments were and all that. As long as this, we might as well just call this episode The Circle Jerk, because that's just like, remember that time you said that funny thing and then you did that other thing I really liked and we were so awesome.
We are funny.
Yeah,
I don't know. I hope this plays okay for everybody.
Circle Jerk.
Twice the fun, half the work.
Awful. Doesn't make sense, but you know, whatever.
Where's that from?
You said that.
Oh, that's me. Oh, shit.
Yeah, that was a circle jerk on your circle jerk, sir.
Twice the fun, half the work.
You said that once in the back room.
Right, that doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
What was I talking about?
What are you talking about? Twice the fun, half the work.
Well, the twice the fun part I get, but... half the work. It's just somebody else's dick.
Oh, if anything, it's so two.
Oh, yeah, it's twice the work. And the same amount of fun.
If that.
Yeah. You're the guy on the end.
Oh, well,
it's a circle.
There's oh, my God.
If you're the one in the corner of that circle, it's great for you.
I'll be in the corner.
The end of the circle. Yep, that guy.
Shit.
Okay, let me get to this last question. This is from Kendra, and she says, how do y'all feel about Hollywood remaking some loved movies from the 80s and 90s?
Oh.
I just saw Poltergeist is being redone. That's one of my favorite scary movies.
Kendra, I'm so glad you asked. I hate it. It drives me crazy.
I hate it.
I'm a curmudgeon-y fudge-my-budge.
Fudge-my-budge. You're
this is,
we say this about you behind your back. That Donna is a real fudge-my-budge.
She's a real curmudgeonly fudge-my-budge.
Yeah.
That's what they say, because there's an old lady living inside of me.
Fudge-my-budge. Let her out.
I get really curmudgeonly about it, because I don't think...
Period. That's it. I don't think.
You son of a bitch. No. What I love partly so much about film is that it captures a specific time and place. Wait.
Time out. What I love partly
in parentheses. What?
What I love partly about film.
I mean, I think kind that's of.
Is
reasonable.
That, is that necessary?
I feel I'm going to stand behind my statement. Part of the reason that I love film is because it captures a specific time, moment in time.
Yeah.
And you can see these stories as told through people who were living at that time when it was happening. And certainly we can remake things. And there are many remakes that I have enjoyed, and that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I get really irritated with us just remaking movies to make more money. There's nothing wrong with Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It's a perfect movie. Don't remake it. I don't want to see a remake of that. I want to see Matthew Broderick as Ferris Bueller. You know, like, I just want to stay true to that story. And when I was growing up, there was a lot... We watched a lot of older movies. My dad would show me a lot of black and white movies, a lot of Technicolor. It was part of my childhood, and learning to watch those and learning to understand those people's stories was a valuable part of my childhood. So just redoing things because we have better camera technology or better, you know, CGI or whatever, I think is bullshit. If it was a good story to begin with, then let it be a good story and watch it and learn how to understand that story. I don't want to remake everything with Channing Tatum, though I do love Channing Tatum.
He's great.
He's a delight, but he can't be in everything. Sometimes it just was Matthew Broderick, and that's it. It's going to be all for that, you know? Mm. I get curmudgeonly about it.
You do. You do.
You're a real fudge-my-budge, Donna.
That's what people say.
It's a real fudge-my-budge take.
How do you feel about it?
I feel that remake whatever you want. It's more than likely not going to be as good as the original one, because you're making it cynically. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, it's much better than the original, and that happens, you know? Mm-hmm. It's okay. Or even if it's not, like, critically better, sometimes you just enjoy the remake more. Like, for instance, and this is like heresy, I enjoy Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead. I think it's really good. I enjoy watching that. I have fun watching that zombie movie. I know he's not George Romero.
Well, the nice thing about the Dawn of the Dead remake, and first of all, Zack Snyder's just not for me. I've just never really been on board with anything he's done. That's totally just a preference thing, though. So I understand, every time I say I understand the appeal of something, I feel like that sounds condescending.
It does, but I don't. But I say the same thing.
And I don't mean it in a condescending way.
I don't think
way.
Anyone means it.
I just mean, like, I get why that's popular. I get why people like that. It's just not for me, is all. And I feel that way about the Dawn of the Dead remake. But the nice thing about it is that even though superficially it's tied into the original, it has a completely different set of aspirations. I mean, it is a totally different movie. It's sort of like, okay, that one handled the social commentary and the, you know, there's an allegory and all this other stuff. This one's just sort of more of like a balls to the walls, like frenetic. Like, it's just a different thing going on, which I think makes it easier to, I think a lot of people were very surprised at like, oh shit, this isn't a total waste of time. This is actually a fun zombie movie. I mean, The Thing is one of – that would be very high up on my list of, like, favorite movies. The John Carpenter's The Thing, which is a remake.
The Fly
is amazing. Yeah. So my feelings are more – I have been where Don is at. At this point, my feelings are more in line with yours, which is that I am not as upset about all this stuff as, like, you know, I know I'm going to live long enough, hopefully, that I'm going to see, like, a Back to the Future remake. You know, at some point, somebody's going to remake something that is, like, really, really near and dear to my heart. RoboCop was the first time I can remember it happening, where it was, like, a lot of stuff gets remade, rebooted, where you go, like, oh, really, why? RoboCop was the first one where they announced it, where I was, like, ooh, that stings. Shit. That sucks. Why? What? And... But then as it got closer and closer to the release, it's like I have never felt more strongly that, like, the things I love aren't going anywhere.
Right.
Like, the whole raped my childhood sentiment, I hate. I can't stand that. It's so juvenile. It's so misguided. And it's ridiculous because the things you loved, nobody – it's not like we're doing this and we're going to put this in place of that other thing. Like, that will always be there for you, your memories of it, especially the whole idea of what it meant to you in your childhood. That can't change. Guys, George Lucas can't do anything to your childhood. It fucking happened already. There's no – nobody's ruining that for you.
Indiana Jones 4 did not make the original three Indiana Jones movies worse.
So stop pretending it had any – if that's on him to, like, fuck up his own legacy, like, fine. It becomes this bizarre, like, shitty footnote in the history of these franchises. But ultimately, it matters so little to what you loved about them in the first place and all of that. And that's the other thing, too. The thing about that RoboCop thing, it's like – the thing about these remakes and reboots is more often than not, they just lead to a renewed interest and in the original or conversations about the original happening again. So even though, like, you know, whenever somebody says, don't remake it, just re-release, you know, the original. Well, you know, it's not going to make any money. There's a reason they don't do that. But also, but it does lead to conversations. It leads to articles online. Here's things you may have forgotten about this movie. Here's why this one will always be better. Usually it leads to a brand new Blu-ray release with all these new special features and interviews, and, like, people are talking about those movies again. And in the case, I think the RoboCop one is the best example, where everybody cried foul when it was first released and everybody was really, really upset about it, and then there was just such a wave of indifference to greet that movie upon its release. No one went to see it. No one gave a fuck. It wasn't even like everyone was up in arms and protesting it. People just didn't care.
Yeah.
And so now that is just going to be, like I said, it's just going to be this weird footnote in the history of RoboCop. It's like, oh yeah, P.S. In 2014, we put out this other one. No one saw it. No one cared. Anyway, moving on. Like, it's just, it doesn't matter. And I feel that way about a lot of them. It's like, the fact that there's a new Ninja Turtles movie coming out, I I couldn't care less that they made a new Ninja Turtles movie. I think it looks terrible, but it has nothing to do with being a Turtles fan of like, well, those aren't my Ninja Turtles. I just think it looks like a bad movie. I'm not offended that like, but what about the stuff? Oh, they're not talking right. They're not wearing the right costumes. Shredder looks wrong. Blah. Like, I'm a grown man. That doesn't fucking matter. Like,
I'm kind of expecting to kind of enjoy it more than I...
I think it's going to be so god-awful.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I also think it's going to be god-awful because it's got Michael Bay's fingerprints on it. But I think that I'm going to go into it when it eventually comes to Redbox in like a year with such low expectations that it'll be kind of surprisingly adequate.
Okay.
Like, oh, there was actually a story with a beginning.
I've been there with movies, yeah. So I can see. I understand. I understand that.
I didn't expect this.
And also the idea that like, well, and actually the Poltergeist thing is interesting because I heard Sam Raimi was involved with that. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe that's no longer the case. But that would be enough to make me go like, okay, well, they're definitely coming at this from a different angle.
I've heard he's doing an Evil Dead TV show.
Yeah, with Bruce Campbell. With Bruce Campbell. And I was thinking of the Evil Dead remake as something that you go like, fuck you, and then you watch it and go, oh,
yeah.
Oh, you went this whole other way with it. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, so those are the questions. Let's now take a really quick detour down to Chris's fashion corner. Stupider and stupider. Okay, so the deal with this week's Fashion Corner, as suggested by one of the listeners, was that we talk about ill-advised fashion choices we made as kids. So who do we want to start with?
You go first.
Yeah, Carlos.
So what did I wear in high school?
Like
what?
Or just anything that's sort of like, oh, that was a bad idea.
I was just thinking about this, actually, before I knew that Big was lost as an episode. I was just thinking about the things that I wore in high school that I could not get away with wearing today. And I was, so I went to a Catholic high school that had a dress code, not a uniform. Kids, boys had to wear collared shirts and they had to be tucked in. And, you couldn't wear denim at all, like pants. Like they had to be basically khakis, corduroys. Like that was pretty much it. Mm-hmm. Some kids got away with like Dickies. Yeah. Or the skaters got away with JNCOs.
I'm not laughing because I'm 10 and you said Dickies. It's because I was just like, oh my gosh, I have not thought about that.
Right, right.
Also Dickies.
So I wore for like sophomore and junior year, I was one of like four or five kids who exclusively wore Hawaiian shirts and cargo pants.
So cool.
That was us. Nice. Yeah, we referred to ourselves as the Hawaiian shirt mafia because
so there are cool. Some really incongruous.
Yeah, we did. We referred to ourselves as that. And that was just like my way of getting around having to wear polo shirts like every other kid there.
That's so fun. We're up to some nefarious shit, but we're pretty laid back about it. Listen, we don't take it too seriously.
Right,
I mean, we'll fuck you up, but
I mean,
hey, man, we'll take our time.
Like our fucking president.
Right, exactly.
You got it right there. Same deal.
So, senior year, there was like a spirit week or whatever for the senior class, and one of the days of that week was Hawaiian shirt day, and I hadn't worn them at all, but kids in my class were coming up to me like, dude, do you have a Hawaiian shirt I can use? And I was like, this was like basically my saying goodbye to Hawaiian shirts. I was like, yeah, and I like lent out. I had like 18 Hawaiian shirts. I lent them out. I got maybe four back and never saw them again. But I was like, I'm never going to wear these again.
Yeah.
Like, I'm never going to be
that person. I don't know why I was like, the reality is this is probably a great thing for you.
The last time I wore a Hawaiian shirt, other than like maybe like a Hawaiian like themed party, was Halloween of our sophomore year of college, so 2002. I was Tommy Vercetti
from
Grand Theft Auto. Yeah, that's who I went as. So I got to
love
the uniform one more time. Mm-hmm. But I was that kid. That was what I couldn't get away with, as well as the FUBU shirt jersey that I wore all the time, and the Kangol hats. I had two Kangol hats that.
Pretty sweet.
I have never owned a single Hawaiian shirt. Have you?
No.
Yeah.
I did.
Wow.
What was the name of that? What was the name of that store at the mall that had the Hawaiian shirts?
Tommy Bahama?
No. Those are expensive.
I know what you meant. There's like a longboard on it.
It was like a skater, but I wasn't a skater. That's the other thing.
They had like a surfboard in the entrance, right?
That sounds right.
Ron John?
What was
it? Ron John? I'm just making
things up. Yeah, I won't.
Bill will.
I won't remember it because it's gone now.
Ron John's a real thing, I think.
It is a real thing.
Gecko, don't know where I was going with that. I'm just saying words. Gecko.
But this was like the skater store that I would buy my Hawaiian shirt.
Pacific
Coast?
That wasn't it.
I know that the abbreviation.
PacSun.
Yeah, PacSun.
That wasn't it. That's where
that
I got
was like
my,
a kind of a skatery store.
Though. That's where I got my skater shoes from, though.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Donna?
I have chosen from my childhood one day.
Oh, yes.
One tragic day. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It was picture day in sixth grade.
Oof.
And sixth grade, I feel like it's pretty much the ultimate of awkwardness for me. I really
for everyone.
Yes,
strangeness,
I agree.
Weird body things. Everything was strange.
Weird body things.
Yeah, she's not wrong. Yeah.
It was awful. I don't know how any of us make it through sixth grade.
They should just let you stay home for sixth grade.
Right? It's just terrible. And this is not the first time that I had chosen a sassy picture outfit based on leggings.
Oh, which aren't in the picture, Donna.
It's so dumb. But I was thrilled about this outfit. The previous one had been in fourth grade where I went.
Lower. Put the camera lower.
Just take a picture of my legs.
I don't know what was wrong with me. But the first time I did this was in fourth grade where I had leggings with books on them. They were like volumes of ancient books on my leggings. I felt so sexy about
smart.
That. And they had
books.
The stirrups on them and it was great.
The book? Oh, the leggings.
The leggings.
The book. I was like, what? All
right. No, but
books were these?
I did this again. I did not learn my lesson because it ended up being a pretty good picture. And I think what I thought was that if your whole outfit feels so good on you, it will inform the glow on your face.
Okay,
like,
sure.
I feel great about my legs.
Yeah, yeah.
My face is glowing, is what I had hoped.
Okay.
So I got this real sassy outfit with these Charlie Brown.
That's the best adjective.
Real sassy.
And it was Charlie Brown Peanuts, like, comic book leggings. So there was hey, Charlie Brown. And then, you know, Lucy's got and shit. So everybody was on these leggings. And then I had a matching shirt that was blue. And it had a little one Sum It Up sassy comic strip across the front.
Sum It Up Sassy.
And I was like, oh, this is it. I found it. I am really going to be cool now. Like, I thought it was the greatest outfit.
This is so adorable. It sounds so terrible.
Yeah. You're going to be the talk of the town.
This was before I was allowed to wear makeup. I have my whole life never known what to do with my hair. And I was, you know, 10, so I was having like acne and for the first time, and I didn't know what to do with any of my personal grooming.
You were 10 in sixth grade?
I don't know. How old was
you're fucking
I?
Smart.
Was I 9?
Well, you're not good at math. We know that. At 9, you're going to go lower?
I don't know.
Sixth grade?
I don't remember.
Aren't you like 12 to 13?
You're like 11.
No, that's... Oh my God, I think you're right.
11. Yeah, I'm a regular sixth grader.
I turned
13 in eighth grade.
Yeah, because 12.
Yeah, me too.
Was
I turned 14 freshman year of high school.
So 11. Oh my gosh, is that weird? No wonder it's a whole other layer of
that.
It's very strange. But so the picture ended up being like none of my sassy comics were in it. It was just this huge blue shirt.
They're typically not interested in children's torsos.
You're a small or a medium, you should have a triple XL in your shirt. Like, you know, it was these huge swimmy clothes. So it's like all blue shirt, and I've got this like very red acne, and I look like I haven't slept. My eyes are like, nah. And like the moment before the picture, I swear to God, somebody like must have hit me with a spitball or something in my hair, because because my hair has this really, like, whoops! Like, it just smashes to the side. And so I'm this googly-eyed, like, scary girl with acne in just a huge blue shirt.
Do you have a copy of this?
We're going to need you to upload it.
Because I was thinking any photographic evidence we have of any of the stuff we're talking about or about to talk about, we should post somewhere.
Yeah, I'll have
somewhere.
My mom find it. I may have burned it when I was in 8th grade because I was like, this is horrible.
Somebody has it.
She was like, no, I treasure you. I was like, I look horrible. Like,
I know when I was a little kid, like really little, and you had like picture day at elementary school, my big thing was slicking my hair back with like mousse, which I never did ordinarily, but on
super
picture
cool.
day.
Yeah.
And I looked like a little used car salesman. Like I got my bow tie and my slicked hair. I was like, hey,
Emilio Estevez.
Come on down to the lot.
Get over
You
here.
Need a Toyota?
Ducks.
Yeah. Oh. Shitty. So a couple of things occurred to me as far as misguided fashion things. The first, I haven't thought about this in so long, was when I was. When was this? I was small. I was still in New York, so I had to be really little. I had Superman pajamas that were amazing because, first of all, none of this, like, Superman punching some guy bullshit. Like, it was legit. It was the Superman uniform, the emblem and the belt, and the cape was Velcro so you didn't choke yourself.
When you slept.
Yeah. They thought of everything, you guys, is what I'm telling you. And they even had, like, the yellow symbol on the cape, which it's easy to miss, but they got it.
They did it.
And so I used to, like, even though they were pajamas, I also had Star Trek pajamas that I would wear and play in, even though they were supposed to be pajamas. Even though they were blue, which was like the medical staff at designated medical, and I wanted red, which was more, you know, it's like, I want to be on the bridge, I want to be authoritative. Anyway, I played in my pajamas. And the Superman ones I got a lot of mileage out of. And one day I decided to fucking wear them to school under my clothes.
Oh, God.
coolest boy.
Because that's...
is amazeball.
And first of all, in the comics, in the cartoons, in the movie, everything, they make it look so easy. Let me tell you right now, when you're wearing pajamas under your clothes, it's pretty obvious all is not right. Like, you don't look correct. So it didn't take super long for people to notice that something was amiss. That, like, what are you wearing under your clothes? And I don't remember if it was that somebody caught like a glimpse of like, you know, at my wrist, like the blue or what. I don't know what it was, but they found out. And first it was my friends that found out and, my secret identity was blown.
How old are you?
I'm very young. So okay. I moved to Illinois when I was in second grade. So this would be sometime before that.
Okay. So you were in like
first grade. I'm thinking this is probably first grade-ish. And, or maybe it was the year I moved. Maybe this is second grade. But so, yeah, so my friends find out. And then, you know, it's like word just spreads so quick about the doofus wearing his Superman pajamas under his clothes. And so a good-natured ribbing from your friends is one thing. Comes time for recess. Let me tell you right now, like the fourth, fifth graders – not so good natured.
No.
It's like, oh, you're Superman? Well, then I guess this won't hurt.
Oh.
And I got beat up.
Kids suck.
Yeah, I got beat up. I had shit thrown at me. They were trying to make me eat wood chips. And I had a real, rocky relationship with Mr. Kent for a while after that. It was hard to, like, because I loved the Superman movies when I was a kid. Christopher Reeve is still, I tear up sometimes when I think about Christopher Reeve. That's my Superman. And, yeah, man. That was not a great day. Why don't we move on to top fives, which was suggested by your friend
Chip,
wanted a shout out.
Chip is awesome,
and I think
so is his girlfriend, the lady friend.
There it is,
Jenny. Jenny, I don't know you, but maybe someday I will.
Chip and Jenny, hello.
Jenny.
Oh, that's weird. I thought he was asking for a shout out for her because you were friends with both of them.
No, I'm friends with him. I've been friends with him since we took a musical theater dance class together when we were 15 with the one and only magical Don Coven. Am I right, Chip? Yeah. Yeah, he knows. I know.
I was like, is this a name?
He is an amazing dance guru in Peoria, who we both learned from. Chip is a great guy, and I've known him for years. We did shows together and jokes and dancing, and it's wonderful. Toasts. We do toasts and greeting cards, you know, sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I saw the movie The Producers the first time at Chip's house, so... The real one.
The remake. That's a remake. That really does illustrate how great the original
is. It's too crazy.
Did you ever see the Curb Your Enthusiasm season where the whole point is that he's pulling a
producer?
Oh my gosh, it was so good. I was like, how did I not see that coming? Anyway.
At any rate, thanks Chip and Jenny for listening.
Thank you. And thank you for the suggestion of doing top fives, which is a great idea. And it's weird. I've been thinking so much about High Fidelity lately.
We were talking about High Fidelity while we were recording the big episode.
We were.
And I was like, oh, because we talked about High Fidelity in the episode they never heard. Weird.
Yeah, but I was thinking that's one I would actually like to do for the show, and how sad it is that it's old enough that we could do it for the show. But anyway, so top fives. Do you want to start with top five favorite movies of all time?
Let's do that.
Okay. Donna, what are your top five?
All right. The Kill Bills.
Oh, okay. Both. Now, is this in any particular order? Like, this is definitively number one, or just sort of? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're all right up there. They're all in pretty important places. And maybe one or the other is more favorite than the other. But, you know, these are pretty much the top five.
Okay.
And I did include... There are two double features on here, but they go so closely hand in hand. The Kill Bills.
You call that as one movie? One movie.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm saying
that's
that
fair.
One unit is probably my favorite of cinema.
Have those been released as one movie?
It's going to be.
They're doing it right now.
Yeah, they're they just announced the whole Bloody Affair is going to be released. Okay. I think sometime in the fall, or
you
maybe
go to the movie theater. And watch it while you make
whole shebang
throwing stars for yourself.
I wonder how much you're going to cut out.
I don't think they are.
They have to just leave
it all in. Just be like, hey, nerds, you want to nerd?
Actually,
out about
what I read is that it's actually there's actually going to be the Oren Ishii, the anime sequence is going to be extended.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's cool. Can I ask you, sequence?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
If you love Kill Bill that much, Oren Ishii's anime sequence, Bill killed her father, right?
No. It's been too long since I've seen it.
No, Bill does not kill her father at all. It's an underworld. It's just like a
Japanese
boss.
Underworld.
Yeah.
But the guy is holding the blade in exactly the same shot that... Mm. Like, the guy that you see kill Oren's father is introduced by the hand on the katana handle.
Right, okay.
In the exact same way that is the only way that you've seen Bill... In the first movie, where it's just like a hand on the thing. And I was always like, "Oh, Bill killed her father. Oh, that's."
I don't think so. I think Oren goes to him because he is a similar figure to that, like father life of crime situation. But I don't think it was Bill.
Okay,
it's a crime boss, and she kills him.
She kills the crime boss, but there's a guy who works for the crime boss.
Oh, that's I see.
So hold on. So I'm guessing by its placement on this list.
Mm-hmm.
So Kill Bill would be your favorite Tarantino movie?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is. I think my second favorite is Jackie Brown.
I love Jackie Brown.
Jackie Brown is so good.
Jackie Brown is amazing. That's I've gone back and forth. Pulp Fiction probably is my favorite.
It's great.
Tarantino movie, but Jackie Brown for a long time I was sort of like, is that my favorite? I think that might be my favorite.
I think so often about Samuel L. Jackson. When Samuel L. Jackson kills Robert De Niro and he's like, "Yo ass used to be beautiful." I think about that so much.
I love Jackie Brown. I love Tarantino too, and it's funny how anytime somebody gets that popular, there's inevitably like a backlash or whatever. But he keeps himself
scarce though.
He does.
I really adore him. Kill Bill would probably be really close to the bottom of
my.
And I like them though. Like there is, I don't think that, other than Death Proof, which I really wasn't hot on.
I've not seen it.
I don't think there's a Tarantino movie I just don't like.
I don't like Inglourious Basterds.
I know you don't, but I do. I really do.
I don't like Reservoir Dogs.
I love
Reservoir Dogs. It's hard to watch. It's hard to watch
because it's so because for me, it's hard to watch because the situation's so tense. It's like, he's a cop. He can help you, but he can't tell you that he's a cop.
I love it. I just, I mean, you can see there's like, there's stuff about the stuff that would go on to like kind of define him as a filmmaker, the things that are become Tarantino-esque. There, you can, there's like, there are elements of it that are a little rough. That he hasn't quite found it yet, but it's like close. I mean, it's kind of rough around the edges, but I love it so much. I love that movie.
Yeah.
Really love that
movie.
I'm not
a fan of The Bastards. I think that The Bastards is... Inglourious Bastards, to me, feels like two different movies that Tarantino wanted to write that he probably should have made, like, a grindhouse on, made two separate movies. The story with the girl who runs the theater is so compelling. It's such a great story. The story with Brad Pitt and The Bastards is a different movie.
I know, but
I just don't like that.
I lament the fact that the movie that we were sold in the marketing doesn't exist. But there's also something so Tarantino about that. Yeah. The thing about Inglourious Bastards, when I think of it, I think of it's almost like a series of short films, just in the way it's presented. I just, for my money, I think the opening scene with Christoph Waltz and the guy with the people hiding.
It's one of the best scenes he's ever done.
And this is what I'm saying. That and the scene with Michael Fassbender in the bar.
Yeah.
In terms of like him as a filmmaker, that's some of the best directing he has ever done in his entire career. Yeah. Like those scenes are fucking masterclasses in filmmaking. And so I like the movie. I like the movie for those reasons. I think the whole wish fulfillment part of it at the end when the shit goes bananas in the theater, I'm kind of like, well, I don't know how I feel about this, but okay. This is a movie you wanted to make. That's great. But, it's not my favorite Tarantino movie, not at all. But I do. I still really, really.
It's my least favorite, really, like by far. But I'm sorry. That was one of your five. What are your?
The rest continue as The Royal Tenenbaums.
Nice.
Oh, man.
Watch it any day, all the time, every day. You can put it on.
Have you seen?
I'm instantly calm.
Grand Budapest.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, you guys.
No. Is it really good?
So fucking good.
It's on Redbox. So I'm going to rent it for $1 on Redbox.
I really liked Moonrise Kingdom. A lot of people didn't. But
I didn't really care about Moonrise
Kingdom. Oh, I liked it. And
too
I
under- precious?
Yeah, yeah, yes. Well, and I under- when people say that, I get it. I totally get it.
The
but
other
I,
one,
it hit me. I found it at like it just right the right there. Time. Yeah. I needed it. But Grand Budapest is amazing.
I intend to see it. The other, it could easily be Fantastic Mr. Fox on this list instead of...
It's a great movie, too.
Because that is...
I mean, Rushmore I really love, too. That's
Rushmore
another guy that it's like...
hilarious.
I have ones that I prefer, but there's really... I don't know that there's a bad one in the bunch.
He doesn't make himself as scarce as Tarantino, and I think it would serve him well to make himself a little more scarce, because I feel like he's kind of making the same movie a little bit here. Like...
He's kind of been doing Royal Tenenbaums for a while.
It's very,
I mean, but
it's
that's
very
just
cute,
sort of.
And it's a lovely style. I enjoy his style.
But that's kind of him as an auteur, where you
birthday.
Know
the
SNL thing. The
SNL thing where it's like Wes Anderson making a horror movie.
Yeah.
No. It's really good. And it's Ed Norton's episode, and Ed Norton is playing Owen Wilson.
Oh.
He's like, oh, wow, there's some people coming to our house.
You guys have to see
really
Grand
good.
Budapest. It's
I've been meaning to.
Really
good. I will see it.
Royal Tenenbaums is the movie that when I'm trying to write, I can't watch it. It's so intimidating to me. It's like
perfect.
I can watch, like, if I'm trying to write something, like, say, for instance, I'm trying to write a Western or something, I'll watch, like, Unforgiven, and I'll watch, you know, Once Upon a Time in the West or something like that. If I'm trying to write something along the lines of like a family kind of comedy, I can't get near Royal Tenenbaums because I'll watch it and go, I'm only going to be doing this, and it won't be nearly as good.
For me, it's Charlie Kaufman. I can't do anything Charlie Kaufman's associated with.
Yeah.
If you're trying to create something, fucking stay away, because then you'll just be like, I
want to write a movie about the writing process. So I put in adaptation, and then I cried for 9 weeks.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Number three.
The Godfathers. 1 and 2.
Amazing. Okay.
Anytime.
Can
any
I just
place,
say
I'll
very
stop.
Quickly, Godfather 3 is not a bad movie.
I
it's
agree.
Just not.
It's not as good.
It's nowhere near.
I think it's worth a watch, and actually, one of my favorite moments in the entire sequence is him losing his daughter silent on
my
the
God.
Steps.
Yeah.
This is devastating.
Just
every fiber of my being is ripped out and put through a meat grinder.
There's a lot in that movie that really works. There's a lot that doesn't, obviously casting
of course.
His daughter.
You've heard the story about that, though.
Yeah, Winona Ryder dropped out.
I like Andy Garcia, though, a lot.
And also, you can, you know, Robert Duvall, it's a bummer that he's not around. That's a huge strike against it.
Joe Montaigne's kind of
horrible
in it.
Well,
I mean, it's a real mixed bag for sure. It's just not a...
It's not as good as... Like, the first and second ones are just perfect.
Can I say this? Yeah. I think... Maybe I'm off on this. I think Al Pacino's doing his best acting in 3.
You think so?
I do. I mean, I love The Godfathers, but I think he's doing, like, the moment when he's having, like, a diabetic attack talking to the bishop and he needs to eat, like, a Butterfinger or something like that, and he's, like, he looks broken.
And to me,
I think he's doing a better...
He's amazing. I'm just really in love with the transformation over, like, the course of the first movie about...
Yeah.
When you think about him in that first scene, and then the way he's lying to his wife in the last scene.
But, like, in the first scene, in the first scene, it's not like he's happy. He's not like a happy guy.
No.
He stays stoic and calculated the entire time. He just starts compromising more and more. But it's not like he goes through a physical transformation through any of it. It's just more of like a moral transformation.
Right.
Whereas in Godfather 3, he's going through both. Like,
sure.
He's going through a moral transformation because he's finally, like, clean.
Yeah.
But he gets pulled back in, and he's also going through this, like, he's got diabetes now, and it's, like, his body, like, it's the Greek tragedy of it. Like, you know, all of the pain.
Life catches him.
Yeah, and I think he's doing his best acting in 3, but...
You mean of his career or of the 3?
Of the 3 movies.
Okay. Gotcha.
No.
Everyone knows. Devil's Advocate.
It was like, what movie are you
going to
say?
No. I didn't hate Devil's Advocate.
No,
when I saw it in high school...
We're going to have to do that movie. That's going to happen.
His whole speech at the end of
God is adapted to
land. That's kind of amazing.
It's,
I mean, if nothing else,
speech.
That monologue is sort of like...
He does deliver a killer performance as the devil.
He is great as the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
My fourth one, and this is the only one that I'm a girl, and
hey,
it
that's
come through once in a while.
Wait.
No preamble necessary.
I'm
going to
say it's not The Notebook.
It's not The Notebook.
Okay.
It's Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Oh.
I love... That's great.
It's a classic.
Come on.
It's a
classic. Yeah, you don't need to...
I remember the film.
And
as I recall, I think I rather enjoyed it.
Yeah. That's one thing we got. But it is
it's a great movie. Even with the racist...
There's an incredibly racist time in our country that is highlighted there.
And a lot of our movies are going to go through that.
And many...
Totally, we just
are going to go through that
but
as a country.
Audrey Hepburn is a fucking treasure.
She's just perfect.
It's a good movie.
You've got to admit, people do belong to each other. And I can quote so many speeches of that movie. It should take you exactly 2 seconds to cross from here to that... Or 4 seconds to cross from here to that door. I'll give you... It's perfect. I love that movie.
It's a good movie.
I'm rounding out my top 5 with maybe my favorite comedy of all time, The Jerk.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see it until I was about 15, which was perfect.
You know what's what's crazy is that the generation after ours probably has no idea that Steve Martin isn't just the guy that occasionally turns up in like these like shitty rom-coms.
And you know what?
And this is
an instance where I have so many times I've met people that said who are younger than me who've said I've never seen The Jerk, and I say I am so excited for you to go watch that movie. Like, it does not matter what year it is. You will watch that, and you will lose your bananas.
Goddamn bananas,
they are
Donna.
Gone.
We're going to find a way for you to secure these bananas.
I feel like she wouldn't be Donna if she had her bananas.
I know.
She needs to lose them. It's the Sisyphean effort
of trying to hold on
to these elusive bananas.
I need potassium, but they're gone.
Can I tell you the story about me watching The Jerk for the first time?
Okay.
My dad, when my parents were divorced... my dad had me and my brother for the weekend. We went to Blockbuster, and he's like, pick out a movie. I wanted to watch Young Frankenstein, had no idea what it was.
Nice.
No clue. It was it's got Frankenstein. I want to watch it. My dad was like, you know, like, it's funny. But I was young. I was like maybe 8. Mm. It's like, you're not going to think it's funny. Mm-hmm. It's like, I want to watch this. And I was like kind of having like a, like taking a stand. My brother picked The Jerk. He had no idea what that was. And I was like, I don't want to watch that. Stupid. I don't want to watch it. I want to watch Young Frankenstein. Now, as it turns out, these are two of the funniest movies ever made. Yeah. But my dad's like, we're going with The Jerk because it's in color and you guys are actually going to watch this. So I was determined not to laugh at this movie.
Oh.
I was like, I am
having... Oh, Young
so,
Carlos.
Yeah. First line of the movie, which is Donna, the first line of the movie.
I was born a poor black child.
I cried. I was laughing so hard. I cried.
Right away.
That first line, I was like, well, I lost. That happened.
Oh, my God.
The Jerk is amazing.
Something about those songs, they depress me.
Your top 5 movies. Oh, unless you do you have honorable mentions?
Triplets of Belleville was my honorable mention.
Nice.
My animated honorable mention. Movie. Incredible.
I remember that thinking that should have won best
everything.
Well, it was up
best,
for like,
you know that Oscar.
It was
best
like
everything.
Best original song. I think it was up for, and it lost to the one from like Lord of the Rings 3.
Mm. Oh, the Pippin song.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever. I remember. Yeah. When
Sam,
the Lord.
I'm in love with you forever.
Yeah. You know what?
Is that who's that? Frodo?
Yeah.
Who's this?
Oh, we're in Mordor now, Mr. Frodo. That's like the whole third.
Can I tell you? I have nothing against Elijah Wood as a person. I'm sure he's a really nice guy.
He's actually like pretty cool from when I hung out with him.
Oh, good.
Never
and I've liked him in other things, but he has that like bullshit condescending smirk he always does. Mm. Like even when he doesn't mean it to be, it's like, and he always does it's like, oh Sam, and he just does like,
it's too much.
You fucking idiot. Like he's just got that
the
look
last
to
part
him.
Of the last like the ending of the Lord of the Rings trilogy is they go back to the Shire. Spoilers, guys. They go back to the Shire. Frodo and Sam
touch wieners for 20 years.
Frodo and Sam. Well, it's understood that that's how much time has passed.
Okay.
Frodo and Sam totally were like in love with each other. Sam gets married. Sam gets married and doesn't want to be with Frodo anymore.
And Frodo's wife, gone. Stand and, here.
No,
and
no, no.
Let
Frodo's
tell
still there.
You how much
after
I love him.
Sam gets married, Frodo sees Sam married.
Oh, okay.
And says, "I'm getting on this cruise with Gandalf." And that's the end of that movie.
And the Backstreet Boys
and they get on
cruise.
A gay cruise, mm-hmm. and they ride off into the sunset, mm-hmm. which is great. But Frodo and Sam, they had a brokeback relationship that never...
I think so, too.
Yeah. Theirs was a love that dare not speak its name.
Lord. Except for they spoke it for like an hour
a
and 45
time.
Minutes during that movie.
Yeah, jeez.
What are your favorite
my
movies?
My 5, okay. Here's how I classify this. These are the movies that when they're on, mm-hmm. I have to stop and watch them.
Okay.
I have to.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Godfathers.
Yeah.
Any of the three of them, but they never play the third one.
No.
Ever.
Yeah.
I will watch any of the three of them. Mm-hmm. They're great. And we've talked about why. Goodfellas.
Sure.
Yes. Goodfellas is my favorite Martin Scorsese movie.
Same
it's
here.
The movie he should have won Best Director for that he didn't. It's a masterpiece.
It is.
It's amazing.
That's true.
And... There is, you can never convince me that any part of that movie is wrong. It's so great.
I was just thinking about it today. I was listening to the Derek and the Dominoes, Layla, mm. the whole piano part at the end. Mm. Obviously I always think of Goodfellas when that part kicks in. And it did. It made me want to watch the movie. And just, I was thinking about how much I adore it.
And then when you watch The Wolf of Wall Street, which I don't know how you guys felt about it, but it feels
I think
like
we've talked about it before, and we're all sort of just like, man.
It feels like
okay.
someone doing Scorsese doing Goodfellas, but it is Scorsese. Like it's so disappointing to me. I said the Godfathers, Goodfellas, Jerry Maguire.
I love Jerry Maguire.
Love Jerry
it's
Maguire.
It's a great movie.
I love it. When I watch it so much when it's on, because it's always on, that when like we're flipping to channels, like, oh, look at this. Jeffrey McGoogle. I've never heard of this movie, honey. We need to stop and watch at least 5 to 10 minutes of it. Yeah, anytime. Joey McGuffin? Sure. We do that. Yeah, we do.
Oh, man.
I really want to put the Royal Tenenbaums on that list because I love it. I'm going to make that's an honorable mention.
Okay.
Because, it's on there. It's definitely on that list. It has to be. It's perfect in every way.
It was a strong contender for mine,
That was
too.
The first thing we ever agreed on. Like, at like, it was like, we not the first time we ever agreed on, but it was like the first, that was the first time we ever bonded at Starbucks. It's like, you love Royal Tenenbaums. Yeah, we wrote so lists of movies.
We did. I still have a list somewhere of, we, Carlos and I at one point found 10 movies that we agreed upon that were completely awesome for both of us. I'll find it someday and read it. It's,
yeah.
It's good. They're good.
My favorite movie to this day
is number one.
Yeah. My favorite movie to this day is the director's cut of Almost Famous. Mm. I love it. I've lent it to you. You didn't like the director's cut as much as the
theatrical
original
cut
but yeah. I saw the director's cut first.
Which, so
that,
yeah,
that, makes a huge that will, yeah. It's 35 minutes longer than the original.
Can I just say
and that? I, hold on.
Oh, real no, quick. No, yeah, you're right. Go ahead.
I can't see what parts they would cut from it because, again, it was the first time I ever saw it.
Yeah. Like,
that was my original interaction with it. I love that movie so much and. Yeah, that one can do no wrong by me either. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say that the two things I remember most about the director's cut that I really was not crazy about was that, for me, it was actually the exact opposite of just like, oh, that's why they cut that.
Mm-hmm.
And not that I really strongly disliked any of it. I just thought the tighter version of it was more satisfying. And specifically in terms of like, I love the way that the theatrical cut ends and you kind of feel like I have... Things do not look great for that band. Like, it's kind of a bittersweet ending of, you know, it feels like everybody has sort of outgrown the situation they were in.
Uh-huh.
And then in the director's cut, there's the whole scene of,
they, like reconcile.
Yeah, the making amends. And it just didn't feel right to me. And also, and this is a kind of a minor nitpick, but they murder, like, one of the funniest jokes in the movie, which is Philip Seymour Hoffman being like, I don't have time to be hanging out with, like, one of my fans all day. And then it just cuts to them, you know, sitting there, in the coffee shop. And in the director's
cut, I had never seen that
cut
before. Yeah, because it's like...
He just keeps rambling.
Yeah. Right? They replace it with another joke, which is, like, a long silence followed by, like, so, did you drive here? No, man, I took the bus. Like,
yeah.
Which is, like, another funny line. But, yeah. But, to be fair, my version has more Philip Seymour Hoffman on screen. So.
That's true.
It's my favorite Philip Seymour Hoffman role.
Ooh.
Lister Bangs.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I do love Almost Famous, though. I do really, 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 really love it.
And then the honorable mentions are Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh, my God, I love that movie.
I love Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
It's so great.
That was the one that I was like, Royal Tenenbaums or Scott Pilgrim? No, Royal Tenenbaums, definitely.
It's over a Scott better, Pilgrim. But it's,
yeah. That's another
it's
so one. It's great. Like, Sam Plumgrum, yes, we're watching this movie. This is amazing. This sounds like a very interesting movie. And High Fidelity.
I love it.
Yeah, High Fidelity is that's my favorite movie set in Chicago, which says a lot. The Dark Knight is technically
it's Chicago. Basically Chicago.
Yeah, Gotham is essentially Chicago.
Yeah.
But
okay, my top five. So my favorite movie. And mine is not in any sort of order, except for this. The first one, my favorite movie of all time, is Casablanca, which a lot of people give me shit for.
Why?
A lot of people my age,
it's like saying your favorite band is the Beatles or something like that. Is that what they say?
Well, I would understand that, but also like in film school, you know, like when you're in one of the like getting let's get to know everybody sort of things on the first day is like, what's your name?
You
what's your favorite
like
movie? Da da da. And a lot of people I genuinely feel this way. Like my dad showed this to me when I was a teenager and I was sort of like, this is fucking great. Like I did not expect to like this and I really liked it. And I thought about it for days after I'd seen it. And just the more I thought about it, the more I liked it. But yeah, there was always somebody that had to make a point of being like, I don't like Casablanca. And the thing that I think is cool about it is that it was at a time when the studio system was just, it worked more like an assembly line. It's just like, just get them out. Just get them out. Like it was not intended to be anything other than we need another Bogart movie out there. And no one had any idea. And then it goes on to become this like beloved thing. But I really do. I think it's a near perfect screenplay. And it's actually, unlike a lot of my favorite movies, it's one I tend not to rewatch as often because I want to leave it as being something that's like really special. But yeah, absolutely. For me, Casablanca, number one for sure. Number two, Cool Hand Luke, is another movie that I think is goddamn almost perfect.
It's so good.
I love that movie. I love Paul Newman. I love so many Paul Newman movies. So this is also sort of an all-encompassingly, like, Paul Newman was amazing.
Oh, yeah, failure to communicate. Mm.
He also, he did a movie where he plays, like, a private eye. I think it's called Harper. Something with an H. I can never remember the name of it, but I know... I loved it. I know that. And there was a sequel that was not as hot, but that was a great movie. Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid. Amazing movie.
I didn't. It didn't sink in about Paul Newman until I saw Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, and I just could never.
He's tremendous. Now, apparently, I met him, but. I was one, and it was when he was racing cars, and I was with my dad, and I was an infant, and I met Paul Newman, and I guess he shook my little hand. obviously, I don't remember that taking place.
We used to use the salad dressing all the time, and my dad would always be like, "Looks just like me, right?" And I'd be like, "I guess, yeah." I didn't get it. I didn't know that he was like a heartthrob sex symbol until like years later. I was like, "Oh, dad." It's just salad dressing.
No, I love him, though. And I especially love Cool Hand Luke. I love everything about that movie. Number three, Jaws. I think Jaws is another almost perfect movie. And the older I get, the more and more I like it. As a kid, I'm sure I probably felt like, where's the shark? I don't see enough of the shark. Now as an adult, I am just mesmerized by the acting and those characters and the three of them together, especially once they're off on the boat together. Like, it's just, I love it. And it was probably the first movie that made me go like, who's this Richard Dreyfuss fella? He's pretty cool. So,
Dreyfuss, you say?
Yeah. Love Jaws. Number four, North by Northwest. And this is also sort of just Hitchcock in general.
So this is your favorite Hitchcock?
But if it's not my favorite Hitchcock, it would have to be very, very close. I put this on here just sort of as a way of like Alfred Hitchcock. It's just Alfred Hitchcock.
Does that movie end with like an insinuation of sex followed by the image of a train going through like a tunnel?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That's in there. I love that movie. I love Cary Grant a whole bunch too. North by Northwest is a big one for me. And then number five, Batman, the 89, the Tim Burton one.
Oh.
Nice. Mostly just because like, and listen, if we ever do this one on the show, I am so completely able to be objective about this.
We're not going to record that episode with you. We wouldn't get a word in.
In terms of...
We'll each record three sentences before I edit them in.
I agree, Chris.
No, I mean, as somebody that then went on to, like, you know, read the Batman comics and become more familiar with the character, I understand all of the weird deviations it makes. I also understand a lot of the reasons Tim Burton made those, you know, the choices he made. And then there are other things about it that just have not aged well. I'm very aware of all that stuff, but it's got to go on the list just because of how influential it was for me. And even though I know, like, objectively, The Dark Knight is probably a better, not probably, it's a better film, that first Batman movie will always, always be my favorite. And Michael Keaton will always be my favorite Batman. And then I've got a whole bunch of honorable mentions I'm going to run through really quick. Bringing Up Baby, Back to the Future,
yes.
Alien, the original Alien, The Graduate, such a good movie. The original Die Hard, Adaptation, Raiders of the Lost Ark, M, the Fritz Lang movie, very, very good. Big Lebowski, that's sort of just Coen Brothers in general. The Thing, Shaun of the Dead, which is my favorite Edgar Wright movie. Mm. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. It's one of my favorite comedies of all time. RoboCop, the original. Evil Dead 2. And I threw Kiss Kiss Bang Bang on there, too. Because I really, the more time goes by, the more I think, like, that is a movie I'm going to watch forever. Mm. That's one I'm going to keep going back to. So that's my top five. Do we want to do top five TV shows?
I can do that quickly, I think.
I suggested maybe limiting this to ones that had ended just to help narrow it down.
That does help, yeah.
Okay, so
these are the ones that have ended.
Hey, yes.
Here's Mr. Cooper.
what are yours, Carlos?
Coach.
Mine are The Sopranos.
Nice.
Um, Oh, well, Mad Men's still going on, but it's in its
last. But it's last season, so if you want to throw it on there,
Mad Men is going to be on that list.
Okay.
Breaking Bad. This is why I said it wasn't very controversial. These are pretty much like considered some of the best shows.
They asked. They want to know.
Mission Hill. Oh, animated series, 12 episodes long. It's perfect in every way. Mm. It can do no wrong.
Awesome.
If you've never seen it, it was on like one of the original runs of Adult Swim. It's so good. And you can get it on DVD. You can probably find all the episodes online on YouTube probably. And then The Wire is my favorite thing ever done in English. Period. Mm. Like it's my favorite book, my favorite movie, my favorite TV show. My favorite conversation with anyone is The Wire.
Yeah. Cool.
Donna.
I'll spiral right off of that and say, yeah, The Wire's my favorite too.
Yeah.
If you watch TV, which we do, you probably have to know The Wire is pretty much the best thing, the highest level you can ever get to. Arrested Development.
Mm-hmm.
Right up there.
Yeah.
I gotta finish that sometime.
You should, yeah. This third one is technically not over, but because of the nature, I feel like I can put it on there.
I think I know what you're going to say, and I think I did the same thing.
American Experience?
Nope.
I was just like,
Sweet Valley High? What are we talking about?
American Experience, the TV show on PBS, they did the series of all the presidents. They do like in-depth.
Oh my gosh,
like Grover Cleveland and like the Dust Bowl and any number of American Experiences. I am sucked in. I am so wrapped in that show, and it is the best of all of the shows.
Okay.
My fourth place is a tie. Seinfeld and Cheers.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Our lists are so similar.
And then my fifth one is a throwback to my all-time favorite childhood show, which did end, and it's Jem and the Holograms.
Making a movie of that.
Making a movie off of that. Live action, I believe.
Who's Jem? Someone I hate, I feel like.
Farty McFuckface?
She's
Robin Thicke.
I don't know who that
David
is.
Bowie.
Okay, well, yeah, sorry, that's actually a pretty good choice.
Probably be like Ariana Grande.
Showtime Synergy.
I was waiting for it. I'm so happy. Okay, my top five TV shows. These are in no particular order. Firefly, and this was sort of same thing as the Alfred Hitchcock, kind of Joss Whedon in general. I think Dollhouse is the only one I never got really into.
That should have been so much better.
Yeah. But in general, I love Joss. And if I had to pick a favorite Whedon show, Firefly would probably be it. Veronica Mars, I like a whole bunch. Breaking Bad, also on my list. Arrested Development, of course. And then I put The Shield, which I took me a long time before I watched it. Everyone else seemed to be into that way before I was, but I loved it.
I have to watch it.
It's a great show. And I think you've told me you know what the ending is, and I've told you it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like it's still a great show. And then I have a whole bunch of honorable, well, not a whole bunch, a few honorable mentions. The Wire, the reason The Wire is not in the top five is like when I was thinking, like, it's definitely the best TV show, but I'm thinking
Michael
in terms
doesn't have to be your favorite player.
But thinking in terms of like, what am I most likely to rewatch? What have I rewatched the most? The Wire is just awfully heavy to go back
it's
and.
Tough.
But in terms of stuff that sticks with you and resonates the most, The Wire is definitely.
I also think just the storytelling style of it, where
I love it.
You know, a character who you thought was the main character of the show is almost not in like a whole other season of the show. I think that's
and it's really non-judgmental from the point of view. I can't talk about it. It's so great.
A couple more years that we're going to be able to talk about it.
I guess so.
I've got True Detective on here, which I know it's going to keep going, but that first season was so self-contained. That's what I thought maybe
that's
you were about
thought.
To say.
Oh.
Like technically that it's part of it
great.
Is over.
Yeah.
So,
that was insane.
Yeah, that BBC show Luther with Idris Elba, especially the first season, that in particular, I really, really love. Cheers. Mm. South Park, which I know gets a ton of shit now because anything that goes on that long inevitably has to. But
so
I think
good.
That show is so smart and so funny.
I considered putting it on my list.
I couldn't. I couldn't not.
Well, it's just, I would, you know, I don't even consider it when I think of my favorite TV shows of all time. But I've seen every episode of SNL for the past 10 years. Mm. And I mean, and I watched it religiously as a kid. I missed the era when Tina Fey was starting, like when Will Ferrell, Sherry O'Terry.
Oh, okay.
I missed that cast, really, but and like when Jimmy Fallon was becoming a thing. And I started pretty much right after, like, Will Ferrell, like, left.
Oh.
That's when I started watching it again, like, every weekend. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's another one. Like, people shit on that show. And yeah, like, maybe 80% of it you'll never think about again. But the stuff that you remember is like a cultural moment. People will talk about it.
Yeah.
You know? Dick in a box. People are going to talk about that.
You're absolutely right. Seinfeld was on there for me as well. Mm. Kids in the Hall, which I know we've been talking about. Carlos just suggested
that's
we do that.
That's coming, guys.
Freaks and Geeks.
Oh, mm-hmm.
My So-Called Life.
Oh.
And Twin Peaks, which you are also going to be hearing in a couple months or so.
I have to watch it.
Carlos is so excited.
I am.
He loves David Lynch.
I hate David Lynch, but I'm really excited to see this show. Like,
I think you're really going to like
and that's what I think.
First season especially.
Yeah. You're
really going to like
it. It's really interesting.
Yeah, so that's going to be the one of the Halloween episodes this year is Twin Peaks. That's what our plan. And then, Donna, you were saying, like, top five favorite movies as a kid was something you had
written
down?
I have them.
Okay, I wrote down a couple really quickly, so if we want to burn through those. So what were yours?
So mine were The Little Mermaid. Every day, all day.
Every day.
As often as they would let me watch it, I was watching The Little Mermaid.
Have you watched it recently?
Yes.
Does the animation throw you off?
No. I love it.
Okay.
It's awfully dingy looking for a Disney movie.
It's a little dark, rich tones, yeah.
When I like, you know, I hate on it because I hate on princess movies, but that's just me being a grumpy old man. Mm. But it came on, it was on TV the other day, and I turned to my wife and I was like, the animation on this looks like TV quality, like Disney afternoon.
Well, you know, Little Mermaid almost... That was almost the end of, like, Disney was not doing great. It wasn't until Beauty and the Beast, I think, was the next one. And that's the movie that
came
fucking
right
saved Disney.
Well,
and then they went on their fucking run.
The
and then it was
animated
like.
Animated movie to be, right?
Yeah.
Then it was Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Lion King.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
what
it was.
Started,
yeah. And then it became every year we've got a big Disney movie to look forward to.
It's funny, though, because everyone looks to Beauty and the Beast. Like, Beauty and the Beast is what saved them. But everyone looks to. Little Mermaid as the beginning of that era. It's like, was it?
But for little girls my age.
Sure.
Oh, my sister adored
it.
Sure, and like, I loved Sebastian.
Why was that video game so hard is what I want to know.
So hard.
Why does it have nothing to do with the movie, and why is it so hard?
Do you know what, do you guys know Neil deGrasse Tyson, the coolest scientist in the world? I follow him on Twitter, and if you have a Twitter, follow him. He's amazing on Twitter. He tweeted a random thought the other day that, crabs, lobsters, like crustaceans are always painted red in like cartoons, but they're not red until you boil them.
That's true.
Oh, Sebastian.
He's
like a zombie.
Sometimes
he's
a zombie. Mm-hmm. Newsies.
Yeah.
Which
of course.
Is.
Right.
Which is another one
Listeners,
that's probably going to.
I'm planning
in
a
some
very
fashion
special
it'll
episode
be.
At some point we're going to do. I'd love to bring Kristen and our friend Brian in on that because they actually.
I think
loved
that
it.
Might be a Kristen Brian Donna episode.
Yeah, right.
You
and me start the other podcast.
Yeah.
You know, the audience who loved it. But I certainly loved it. Clue. Tragically.
We should do that for the show.
What about. Oh. 101 Dalmatians.
Oh,
I loved. It was one of my first characters. Was imitating Jasper and Horace, the crooks, the Bettons.
Yeah,
Horace, Jasper. I loved being those guys. And the Neverending Story 2.
Oh, Donna,
the best Neverending
Story.
Don't even. I can't.
My honorable mentions are Ladybugs. And
I was just thinking about that movie yesterday.
You're
it's
right.
So weird that you
it's
brought
so
that up.
Good. And The Great Muppet Caper.
Like, I didn't say it was so good, but The Great
you
Muppet
did. Carlos loves Lady
Great
Bones.
Muppet Caper.
And
nice.
Great Muppet Caper. Mm-hmm.
Carlos.
Aladdin.
Mm.
I loved the genie in Aladdin. I thought he was Aladdin when I was a kid. I was like, oh, Aladdin's clearly the blue genie. Because his name is Genie. That's a horrible name. Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Mm. To this day, one of my favorites. The Warriors. Nice. The Warriors used to be on HBO all summer long, and we had HBO as kids. My brother and I have seen The Warriors 50 times, and it's perfect. Three Amigos.
Nice. Oh, great. That's nice.
Yeah. Oh, that movie is great. When the animals are singing the song, the horse is like, bum, 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 bum.
That's so good.
That is great. And what is the name? Is it Almost Human?
That's the one with
Chip.
Alan Thicke.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that was always on the Disney Channel.
Yeah.
And in that one and the sequels, the first one of those, loved it.
Mm.
Could not get enough of Almost Human.
Mm.
Couldn't remember the name of it. I could only remember that the guy's, the robot's name was Chip.
Mm.
That's all I could remember for until you said Almost Human. But I was like, that was one of my favorite movies as a kid.
Is that what it's called? Because I know that was the show that was just on Fox, too.
But yes, it was.
Maybe it was.
You referred to it as Almost Human, and I thought that's what it was.
Okay. So what I did was I actually tracked what my favorite movie was at different times in my life, like as I was growing up.
Nice.
And so
until 1989, then it's just Batman.
I started with Batman because I was so young when I saw it. I'm not sure what my favorite movie would have been before that. I probably Star Wars. Like I was really as a kid, I really loved Return of the Jedi a lot, just because it had a lot of very like crowd pleasing moments in it. But so we start with Batman again. Batman 89. Then I think for a long time it was probably Jurassic Park.
Probably
my favorite movie.
Good movie.
Then
scared me as a kid.
Me too.
Then there was The Crow because I was 15 once. Had to go through that bullshit. Then I think for a long time Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind was probably my favorite movie.
It's hard to watch.
And then we're getting into, so like, sad. That's almost, that also is almost a perfect movie. Just in terms of, like, there are things in there that sometimes you sit down to write something and it's like, why? It was summed up so beautifully and just that.
I can't. Charlie Kaufman's ability to see the overall structure of a story is, it's insane. He's seeing a story in 4D.
I know. Like, when you start that movie and you think it's the beginning of that story, and then you realize you've come in sort of at the end of it.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, that it is. It's, yeah, I'm in awe. I'm in awe of him a writer, and I love that movie. And then I think also a similar time, like college age, I was also really into that movie City of God for a long time. Do you guys remember that? That Brazilian movie?
That
was my favorite
movie
for a few years. I really liked that. All right, guys, that's it for us. If you're a fan of the show, rate and review us on iTunes. And if you can find a sly way of referencing one of our running jokes, we'll read that part on a future episode and give you a shout out. You can also like our Facebook page to share your own memories of these films and to interact with us and other listeners. Follow us on Twitter at HDYRpodcast. Let us know if you have suggestions for other titles we should revisit. And we'll see you in 2 weeks for Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Thanks again.
Thank you.